Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Yeah. Oh, we're going to get into action today. I knew it. That miserable, slimy, disgusting traitor, Mike Pence. I knew he'd made a deal. I knew it. I could feel it with every bone in my body. I was right about COVID being a government hoax. The whole policy was insane. This is a real virus, but the whole policy was insane. The lockdowns, the masks, everything was all illegal. I knew it. And I knew this too. I told you back in January 6, 2 years ago, 2021, that Mike Pence had made a deal, that he had sabotaged Trump on purpose. I knew it. And now it's out. And now the information's coming out. So once again, your humble servant here at Action Radio was right. I knew it. So much for me patting myself on the back. I've taken my victory lap, but Mike Pence is a slimy traitor. He's nothing but a slimy, miserable traitor. He made a deal. He thinks he's going to get the GOP nomination. No way. Ain't going to happen. Trump's going to beat you, you stupid idiot. You apparatchik, you tool of the deep state. God, what a fool. On that happy note, let's go on to something a little bit different with Brianna Cannon. She started as a guest on Action Radio, courtesy of our Constitution reporter, Amber Kemper. Both Brianna and Amber are graduates of Patriot Academy, a place where young folks get to practice writing and advocating legislation and being legislators in a mock session. Brianna immediately impressed all of us as someone we wanted on the show with her own report. With an insightful mind, asking and taking on complex questions, and a growing skill in sarcasm and satire, plus her study of government, history, the Constitution, and our founding, all of her skills and knowledge combine into something pretty incredible here on Action Radio. And now, the Government Inquiry Report with Brianna Cannon. Sorry, Brianna. I had to get that off my chest. I don't think you've ever heard me rant before. That's kind of what it sounds like. But, oh, I can't believe that miserable slime ball. I'm sorry. How are you today?
I'm good. I think you've had fun with some rants.
Oh, okay. Well, I just don't know if you've been on the line at the same time, though. But, oh, yeah, I have my moments. And this one was just so obvious. And, you know, instead of confirmation, I think my political instincts are pretty good. This one just seemed like a no-brainer. I mean, why else would he sabotage Trump? Sabotage the very guy he worked with and allegedly served as vice president for 4 years. And all of a sudden, on January – well, actually, it started back in December. I knew something was wrong in December because there were 7 battleground states with electors that for Trump. And the governors were saying, Democrat governors were saying, oh, no, we've got Brandon electors. Those are the real ones. Of course, we knew they were a bunch of fraud electors. So the Trump electors were the real ones. And we were figuring that Mike Pence, of all people, would probably, you know, send the state, send the legislators, the electors back to the states to get it sorted out because the state legislatures control the electors. I mean, that's just how it works. And he didn't. And as soon as he didn't, I thought, something's wrong here. Because he was constitutionally bound to do that. There was no choice. And then he comes out and says, well, the Constitution says I can't do that. So he's lying. So now I know he's lying. I'm thinking, so I always look at motivations to people. I thought, what's in it for him? What could he possibly want that he's willing to sabotage Trump, screw the Republican Party, screw over the entire nation, you know, put Brandon, or as I'm calling him now, illegal Brandon, in charge to totally destroy our country with an idiocracy run by Obama and Hillary Clinton behind the scenes? What would motivate one person to do that? And it all came down to the same thing, power. You know, as Henry Kissinger said, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. If you know Henry Kissinger, he still keeps his German accent, even though he's been in the country for like 80 years. Guys, you know, but it suits him to keep his German accent. So he still says, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. It is. He loves power. He loves power more than America. He loves power more than loyalty, more than patriotism, more than, his fellow American. He loves power. And he doesn't have the brains to get it on his own, so he cheats. Anyway, just my feelings. Do you know anything about this? Did you follow that at all from January 6th, the actions of the legendary traitor, doomed to descend into infamy, you know, Mike Pence?
No, I mean, whenever I heard about him, it was most people just hated him, hated what, you know, he had done. So I really didn't, I guess for me, I thought he just kind of like disappeared, went away, kind of, you know, out of that
realm. Oh, yeah,
realm.
He disappeared, all right. He got out of town fast. He got out of Dodge. Yeah, because, you know, the Republicans were right on his tail. And all of a sudden he surfaces now. What's the rating in the polls? 5%? What does he think he's going to accomplish, stupid moron?
I honestly don't know.
Oh, it's okay. Well, yeah, you don't have to know. So a lot of times, I mean, there are, in fact, that's one of the most viable answers here. I'm messing up papers on my desk here. That's one of the more viable answers is to say, if you don't know, say you don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of people are trying, you know, on other shows, they try and fake an answer. They try and sound intelligent. A lot of my questions, I don't know, but those are the best questions. It's the ones you don't know the answers to. Did you ever hear the case of when new members of Congress were asked about Fredonia and what our policy was there?
About
did you ever hear
what?
The story? Fredonia. Did you ever hear this story?
No, I have not.
Okay, so there was, this is back, might have been the 80s or 90s. Anyway, this has been going on this happened a long time ago. Anyway, reporters back when they're actually, you know, it had to be the 80s. This is back when reporters were actually journalists. And so they went up to new members of Congress and they said, could you confirm that you either support or dispute our policy towards Fredonia? And of course, you know, one by one, they do line up and said, well, I support our policy. I think we should continue our policy. I think it brings stability and, normalcy to the region. And we think that, that we should absolutely, continue our policy towards Fredonia. And of course, it's a joke, right? There is no such place. It comes from an old Groucho and Harpo and Chico Marx Brothers movie from like the 1930s. You know, it was the land of Fredonia. It's like, what was that? That movie with Julie Andrews and the princess something or other. You know, she was like the Grand Duchy of some place no one's ever heard of. That kind of thing. So it's a made-up country. One person in Congress said, wait a minute, there is no such place. They actually called the reporters on it. One out of like 10, you know, said, no, there's no such place. That's from a movie. I don't know what you're talking about. There is no Fredonia. But the others just bullshit. Excuse me. Yeah. BS their way. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But they BS their way through, thinking that they could just get away with it and just lie. But it's better to say you don't know when you don't know. I would respect the person more for saying, I don't know what you're talking about, rather than saying, oh, yes, we should maintain our policy and bring stability to the region. Yeah, right. So much for lying. Doesn't work on this show. Anyway, what do you want to talk about today? Welcome to Action Radio, Brianna. You caught
right.
me on a rare day of inspiration. You know, I love being right. I do. I just love being right. Don't you love being right? Especially when people are like, yeah, Greg, sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Brianna, sure. Yeah. And then 2 years later, it's like, you're right. And it's like, haha, told you. Sorry.
Yeah. I think it's more like I want to be right. Like, whatever, you know, stance I have, you know, I want to make sure that it's right, I guess. Not necessarily like whatever I say is right. Just want to make sure that I know the right knowledge.
Well, sometimes you don't. I mean, the whole point of predictions is you don't know. I made the prediction that Ron DeSantis would never declare for president because it would be so stupid for him to do so. He'd lose all his money. He'd never get anywhere. He would sink his term as governor and probably, you know, get himself out of several, you know, potential offices later on. It'd be the dumbest, stupidest thing he could do. But again, power. He was seduced by the dark side of the force, you know, power and money. He got the money from the donors, from the same deep state that said that, Mike Pence is going to get the nomination for sinking Trump. So they use these people. They use these people as useful idiots. You know, and so now with this deal coming out, DeSantis has no chance, you know, because he's not going to, you know, they're going to boost Mike Pence. Do you remember when John McCain, I don't know if you remember this, John McCain and we probably remember Mitt Romney, they both ran as the moderate Republicans, the common sense Republicans, the only Republicans who could unite the party and unite the country. And all the conservatives were fighting each other. And so they all beat each other up and lost. And both Mittens Romney and John McCain became the nominees and promptly lose to Obama, which was the plan all along. And it's interesting that they're going to try and do the same thing with Mike Pence. He's the he was the one who stood up to Trump. He was the one who brought sanity to government. He's the one who upheld the law and the Constitution. It's all lies, of course. But they're gonna take him over Ron DeSantis, even though they promised Ron DeSantis money only to oppose Trump. Anyway, I was wrong on that prediction, completely wrong. But I think we'll see what happens. We'll see if he pulls out by New Hampshire. But this whole development is fascinating. We'll see what happens with Mike Pence too. But this is why politics is so much more fun than most other sports out there, because all these really stupid things have dumb people, money, power. Oh, God. Anyway, back to you. What do you think?
That actually made me think of this this one thing that I saw. It was a short little thing of a cartoon that was, I guess, from maybe the 50s or 60s or something. I'm guessing. I'm not really sure what year it was from. But it was about, you know, government taking control of everything. And throughout it, it was showing him taking jobs and not giving people a chance to debate them, using propaganda, lies, like all the stuff in this fun little like kids cartoon. And then at the very, very end of it, it shows this one guy, and he was like running away from the other two. And they were saying that if anybody tries to, you know, cause divide, you know, religiously or between classes or between race or any of this stuff, these are the people trying to take away your freedom. And it's kind of interesting, you know, because, you know, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's interesting, the things that we were warned about. Yeah, you know, if you ever watch the old Twilight Zone episodes or even the early Star Trek, the first series, the original Star Trek, it was all about freedom. All these different things, the books, you know, Brave New World, 1984, they're all warned about totalitarian governments. And as we said, we said on the show, the Twilight Zone, you know, it was supposed to be a warning, not a manual. You know, same thing with 1984. So it's interesting. Do you remember the source? Do you remember what that cartoon was? The original one you were talking about? It'd be interesting to find it. Because cartoons, political cartoons are fabulous to study. I had a cartoonist on. The best one today is Ben Garrison. Ben is brilliant. You'll see him on my Facebook pages. You can get him various places. He's been on the show, I think. I know he was on the show once. He might have been on twice, or maybe I just replayed my original interview. Anyway, I'd like to get him back on. But cartoons can change nations. Cartoons can, you know, get you into war. Cartoons can maybe get you out of war. But there aren't any good political cartoons anymore because, you know, the news is such propaganda, they don't let them on. So they have to. So political cartoonists have kind of gone underground. But there was a famous political cartoon, Walt somebody. He wrote a cartoon called Pogo, and it was about these kids and these, you know, kind of like Smurfs and Furbies and weird little things like that. But when one cartoon that stuck in everybody's mind, he said, "We have met the enemy, and it is us, or he is us." And in other words, warning about if this country gets destroyed, it's going to be destroyed from within, which is exactly what's happening now. You know, the enemy, and part of the enemy is making other people the enemy, fake enemies, and going to war with them constantly. You know, Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, Ukraine, Sudan, whoever's next on the list. But that's all part of the plan. They always keep us at war, always keep us in an emergency, always keep us in a pandemic, because that's what controls people, because they're based on fear. So our greatest enemy is within us. Right now, the deep state, as exemplified by Mike Pence. In his action, his deal. I'll read the article in the third hour, so you can catch the podcast later. But I think it's quite interesting. Anyway, I know we had something for today, and I've probably taken 15 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
But let's get to your topic, and then I'll save mine for the third hour.
The cartoon is called Make Mine Freedom, and it's from 1948.
Huh. Is it like a one-panel cartoon kind of thing?
It's supposedly like a anti-communist kind of cartoon.
Okay. Yeah, anything you find like that, you can send me and I'll post it, or you can post it yourself. That'd be a great thing for our political stuff. Huh. Okay. What's in your mind? Yeah. What did you want to talk about today?
So there was two things. The first one is last week I told you about a little conspiracy called The Man in Black. So I'm going to read a little bit about that. And then you said that you were interested in the China thing.
Well, yeah, the article you sent me on, you know, why don't we just like surrender right now? Oh, Marco's listening in the Netherlands. He's already sent me the website from Wikipedia. He's already looked it up. So Marco's our technical assistant, person from Netherlands who's immediately got it. Do you have the post already? Because I can send it to you as well. I'll put it on your messenger. Or did you just hear about it? Did you look up the Make Mine Freedom Did you look that up already?
Yeah, okay, I just Googled it.
Okay. All right, great. So I've got it. So I've got it now. Marco, thanks very much. I'll check it out after the show. But anyway, so you want to talk about China, or there was another article too? Those are like the two main ones.
Yeah, I'll start with the Man in Black because it's got a little bit more, and I don't want to run out of time. But
yeah, we
for
tend
the China one, there was another article,
mm-hmm.
and I can't find it anymore anywhere. It's frustrating me. But it was saying that, you know, somebody had found that the Biden administration had supposedly already drafted up a surrender to China. And
well, first of all, you can't say Biden administration because we do not acknowledge the coup. You can say Brandon insurrection, that works, or illegal Brandon, but
yeah.
Biden insurrection, but Biden administration, no, there is no Biden administration. So we just want to clarify for those that think we've lost our minds here. Just kidding. Yeah, anyway, so surrendering to China, that would be novel. Drafted by Xi Jinping in his spare time or what?
Yeah, well, the problem is I can't, because I had saved the article because at that time I didn't have time to read it. And so I went back and I was trying to find it and I was Googling it. I was like going, and I was going page after page. I couldn't find it anywhere. So now I don't know anything about it.
Okay,
but
Marco,
anyway.
We need your help again, Marco, in the Netherlands. Here's something that you got to watch for that. Every once in a while, I run across an article that is so good, I actually save it, or I'll copy the text. There was one that I saved, fortunately, because it's not available anymore. It's from Knightsbridge. It's on the Trump electors, and it actually outlines the battleground states. It outlines everything. I couldn't really save the whole article as it was to my desktop, so I just copied the text and put it on a text edit page. And so I still have the article. I'm probably one of the only sources around that still has. But it was so brilliant and so nicely done describing the Trump electors and where they are and who they are and what happened that it's Marco says he missed it. It's just sometimes you just have to if you get an article that's really good, you bookmark it, obviously. It's the first thing. But sometimes just copy the text onto a separate file. And keep it, so at least you have the words. So we got make mine. Yeah, so well, Marco sent us the video. Let me copy that. Apparently it's a video. I'll send that to you after the show also. So you wanted to look up all right, so for Marco, Biden's surrender to China. Apparently there's a draft. Well, why don't you tell him, Brandon? You know it better. You know what you're looking for better.
Yeah, well, I never got to read it because it disappeared, but yeah, it was just saying that somebody had figured out or found out that Biden had drafted up a surrender letter to China, and I was kind of like, the worst part is that it's not unbelievable. It is believable,
yeah, you're right.
But I don't know if it is
you're
true
right.
or not.
No, well, no, that is actually very, very insightful, very profound. That the scariest thing is that it is believable. That he would do that, not consciously,
yeah.
but someone within his insurrection, probably Mark Milley, who talks to his counterpart in China, to betray Trump, miserable traitor that he is too. Marco's looking. Isn't it nice? We got international cooperation here. It's fascinating. Our agent in the Netherlands, looking at technical resource. He's an IT guy, so he can find this stuff really quickly. Well, tell me what you think about that. Why would such a thing exist? Where would it be? How would we find it? What do you think about it?
Well, one of the things is like the World Economic Forum was they don't want the United States being a world superpower anymore. And obviously we have many enemies that hate us and don't want us either. And so I think it's really just part of this idea of, having other countries have power over us, having a weak nation. It could be, one of their new steps to globalization. I mean, there's a lot of evil in different directions that different people will try to take us down. That's kind of like something that I pieced together kind of with this idea is, I guess, what makes me fear it more. Is the fact that, China supposedly has said that they're wanting to invade Taiwan by 2026. And they're, like, ramping up their military and doing all of this. And they've had hypersonic missiles for years. This is in the one article. And, but that article is from, like, 2021. So that one's a little bit old. But, you know, with all of the stuff that they're doing, and then they are in, like, a partnership or alliance of some sort with Russia, and, you know, they have all these different BRICS countries, and I was sharing these kind of thoughts with you the other day, and all these different countries are joining BRICS, and there's some countries that are kind of, you know, pressed under the thumb of China in some ways. So, you know, maybe they're going to be trying to exert more of that control over more nations or deeper into the nations they have, you know. So they'll have quite the stronghold. Plus, you know, they're all coming for America. So that wouldn't
well,
be
no,
good.
No, let's take a look at this. Do you remember what the BRIC countries were? It's like Brazil. I've forgotten some of the others. What are the BRIC? Brazil, India.
I haven't written down. Let me find it real fast.
Yeah.
I don't have all of them, but I do have some of them. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa were the main ones. And then
okay, so that's different
Turkey,
than the one
Mexico,
I've heard.
Indonesia,
okay.
Argentina, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and then there's more that I didn't have.
That's all in the BRICS?
Yes.
That's a lot of countries. See, they're not all going to get along
yes.
with this country. You can't have an alliance that big. But there was one between, I think, Japan, South Korea, Australia, and India. Remember that one?
Yeah, they named
it. It's like a South Pacific alliance.
I don't know about Korea or Japan, though. I don't know if they were in it or not.
Well, I forgot the name of it. There's an organization, Clay Lopez used to talk about when she was on the show. She's former CIA intelligence officer and field officer, too, expert in Middle East and Central America. And she talked about these countries, that Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and in India and Australia, the countries around the South China Sea, you know, extended, have sort of banded together as well. Well, the alliances are changing. You know, if you're a country in the world that used to depend on the United States nuclear umbrella and military and things like that, first of all, we shouldn't have extended that. But secondly, they can't count on Brandon. Brandon doesn't even know what he's doing. You know, how can they count on the United States to do anything? We have an idiocracy. We have a government of idiots. I mean, the only diversity, there's no diversity in the fact that, yeah, they're different skin colors and, you know, as far as they're concerned, multiple genders, but for the most part, they're idiots. They're total morons. They're appointed because they're morons. They will do what they're told, not understand, you know, that what they're being told is lunacy, and they'll do it anyway because they think they're powerful people. Look at, who was that, Blinken, you know, Secretary of State, total complete moron. Austin, Secretary of Defense, idiot.
Yes.
People are idiots. You know, we got a Supreme Court judge that doesn't even know she's a woman. I mean, it is so bad. And their policies suck. You know, apparently, I just was reading this morning that there's the new Ukrainian spring offensive has already been completely slaughtered by the Russians. You know, and that idiot from CNN who had Trump on says, well, you know, don't you want Ukraine to win? Well, that's an impossibility. It was always an impossibility. Anybody that knows anything about Russia and Ukraine, you know, in fact, did you hear the JFK tape? Not JFK, excuse me, RFK, Robert Kennedy with Elon Musk. Did you get a chance to, have you heard that at all? Or because that would be fascinating listening.
I saw something
for you
about that, but I haven't yep. listened to it.
Okay, it's all over my Facebook page. You know, but it's there. And I can, it just, you can go to Twitter, just go Elon Musk, or I can send it to, I think I did send it to you, actually. Anyway, take a look. It is fascinating. And he talks about Ukraine. He says, everybody knows that the Ukraine war never would have happened, you know, with Trump or with him or with a few other folks, because the agreement that Bush struck with Russia was that they wouldn't extend NATO into the Warsaw Pact countries. Do you remember the Warsaw Pact as opposed to NATO? Do you remember how that lined up, the Cold War, the Iron Curtain?
I do remember learning about this, but my brain doesn't seem to remember much about it at all.
That's okay. Let me refresh your memory. The Cold War was between Russia and the United States, and China was kind of like waiting to see who won, kind of like a predator kind of hanging
yeah,
back.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
letting
the Cold War, yeah.
Okay. So the war divided along what Winston Churchill called the Iron Curtain, which was between the East and the West. And so the East was Russia and all the Eastern European countries that Russia took on their way to Germany. In fact, they took half of Germany. Western Europe was all the countries that that France, England, and the United States took, you know, from Germany on the way, and Russia and the United States, the Allies and the Russians kind of met in Berlin. Russia claimed most of Berlin. In fact, they wanted to claim all of Europe, but then they partitioned the country. They partitioned Berlin. I was in West Berlin while the Berlin Wall was up. It was really quite fascinating. Anyway, so but the thing was that the NATO was set up in case Russia wanted to invade Western Europe. And then Russia set up the Warsaw Pact, Warsaw being the capital of Poland, which were all the countries in Eastern Europe in case NATO invited back. So they stalemated, just like World War One. And there's like a big World War One trench along this Iron Curtain dividing Eastern Europe from Western Europe, communists from freedom. And what happened was that Bush said to whoever it was way back, maybe it was Putin, I'm not sure, it depends how long you've been there, we're not going to go past Western Europe where we're done. We don't need to expand NATO. And Putin's like, okay, you know, you have your sphere of influence, we have our sphere of influence. Well, then Zbigniew Brzezinski comes along. This is what RFK was saying in the report last night, that Brzezinski, who's like, what's her name, Brzezinski's dad, the CNN reporter, and said, no, we're going to take all those countries. We're going to expand NATO all the way to Russia. Neocon, in other words, neoconservative, the warmongers, the John Boltons and all those folks, the people that want a war always so they can make money and, you know, just destroy the world, and they're living with this Cold War mentality. They're the ones that caused the war between Russia and Ukraine. The neocons caused it by pushing NATO all the way up to Russia's border, including Ukraine. That's where it started, and that's why we have this problem now. Anyway, does that refresh your memory?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So back to World Economic Forum, or you were saying they you know, basically they wanted to destroy the United States because we're it, except we were it. I don't think. Well, here's a question for you. Do you, you know, I've always felt that the United States, one of the biggest problems was, you know, trying to run the world, trying to be the world's policeman, trying to, you know, export our culture and philosophy and everything to the world, and force it if it doesn't happen. And I was saying, why don't we just lead by example and help other countries with their freedom, you know, rather than trying to force it on them with wars and things like that. That to me made much more sense. And yet, but they've done just the opposite. You know, you're either with us or against us. If you're against us, then we'll fund an opposition to overthrow your government, so you're with us. That never made sense to me.
Yeah. I think more than anything, it's those few corrupt power holders with a lot of money and a lot of influence within different, you know, globalization organizations and within our own politicians. Because, you know, with different, like, bribery schemes and just schemes in general as well, you know, that'll give them more power. I think that kind of greed, you know, if we don't have that, if people don't have that solid foundation, you know, they'll go very, very easily. I think that's what's happened.
That makes sense. Yeah. I was just thinking that the idea that we've lost our some of our power and influence in the world would have happened anyway. And the reason it wouldn't have happened was we couldn't afford it. The only reason we could, you know, control so much of the world after World War II, and this is the anniversary of D-Day for those that are wondering why we haven't talked about it, but the reason we could do that is because we had all the factories, we had all the money, we had the transportation, we had the infrastructure, we had a country that, countries that weren't bombed out, and the rest of the world was playing catch-up. Well, the rest of the world was going to catch up anyway, and we were never going to be in that preeminent position. We would be just another country. If you look back at World War I with the alliances, or even pre-World War I, the United States was just another country. It didn't have this position of, you know, we had our Monroe Doctrine. We had our sphere of influence. We would control, you know, basically North America, Central, you know, North America. And that's it. It's not big enough for the rest of the world. And it's like we're coming back to that because it was unnatural, the position we had after World War II. And it was crazy to think that that would continue. And yet that seems to be what these people are operating on, is the World War II model. That's what I think.
Yeah, World War II was really a changing point for the world.
Uh-huh.
And it's in a way deeper than most people, you know or see or heard about. It was all done in secret.
How do you see it now? How do you see the
and,
world?
You know,
changed?
I could say it was done slowly, but you know, 60 years, you know, it's not actually that slow in the time of history of, you know, how this kind of transpired. But I'm going to go into this conspiracy for funsies.
Oh, please do. Tell me.
All right. Yes. So it was, all of this information comes from a man named Joseph Spencer. And I found these interviews from an account on Instagram called the Woke World Order. And, you know, the account itself hasn't been there for very long at all. I remember whenever I followed it, it probably had like a couple, like 300 followers, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a lot smaller. And now I went back and I was just interested. I was like, you know, I wonder, you know, how many people this has gotten out to, you know, how many people have been able to like share this and stuff. 44 right. point something thousand. And it's like only been like a couple of months or something. I mean, it's amazing because that kind of information that that account puts out definitely needs to get in the hands of more people. So that made me super excited that that many people decided to learn more. But so this is coming from a man named Joseph Spencer, and he claimed to be the man in black. And he wrote this letter, and he told his friend that when he dies to read this letter.
Why wait till then? And when we want the benefit while he's alive, that doesn't make sense. But anyway, tell me what he said.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to get killed or tortured or something. I don't know. But his friend that he gave it to is named Tom Keating. And Tom Keating is the one that relays all of this information.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go ahead and read what basically he had said.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, in May of 1970... to October of 1997, he served the United States government as a top secret operative. At the 1994 World Population Summit in Cairo, Egypt, 160 nations participate and agreed that the human population needs to be controlled and stopped as the world was running out of resources. And
agreement
was made to mandate the reduction of humans.
That's a recurring theme. So 1994, human population reduction. Okay. Okay.
And I remember learning quite a bit about Cairo, Egypt. It's weird because there's so many meetings to keep up with. But I don't remember all of it on Cairo, Egypt, but I do remember that there was like some highly significant things that were done at that one. Highly significant meaning like highly evil, horrible, into the world kind of things.
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood was there that Obama supported and brought into the White House. So that was – and the people rejected and I think had them all taken out and shot or something, or at least got them out of office. But the Muslim Brotherhood was big in Egypt. And that, like I say, it was an Obama operation. So that was pretty evil. But, yeah. Cairo's interesting. I'd like to go there. It'd be an interesting place.
Yeah.
I want to see the pyramids when it's safe enough to do so. Not sure these days.
Yeah.
But,
I had a friend who was from Egypt. She was a transfer student.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
The worst sentence about this part right here is the agreement made to mandate reduction of humans. You know, usually you hear them say, you know, population control, you've been meaning population and stuff. But this one, what he wrote was, to mandate the reduction of humans, which is put differently than everybody else had put it and everywhere I read. But yet, it is so much more accurate.
So what was the difference? How is it usually stated? It's just a population reduction, but not a reduction of humans? Are you keying on the word human?
Well, they really just say, like, population control.
As opposed to people.
The population. And this one, it says, agreement made to mandate the reduction of humans.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean population control. That could mean taking humans and reducing them to machines, reducing them to brain-chipped automatons. I mean, there's a lot of things that reducing human means. You know, and like I say, I think you've caught something here that's very interesting. So do you think it is a reduction in population or reducing humans themselves to some lower form?
Oh, no, it's the population, because right after it says they are hoping to go from 6 billion people to 800 million by the year 2030 and wipe out 95% of the population.
And why did they want to do this?
because they're demented psychopaths. I don't know. They like to create.
Okay, given that, so what's the benefit?
I think one of the biggest things. Power, less people, they're able to control.
But they have less power.
Control a,
if you have 5 billion fewer people, you've got far less power. You have much more power if you have 5 billion people working for you, if you're an elitist, as opposed to 1 billion. Why would you? What's the benefit?
Well, I mean,
to the psychopath, think like a psychopath.
I mean, look at like French and like in George Orwell, whenever he was writing it and stuff in French history, you know, mm-hmm. they kill quite a lot of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of those people didn't even actually commit crimes. It was just a set and example.
Didn't have to.
And I'm not saying that this is just a set and example, but I think I think what it may be is the fact that, you know, they can get rid of a population, and I think that's still control, because if they can say, oh, well, you know, we're the ones that killed all these people. We had control over killing them, and we have control over those alive. So, I mean, I may be able to see it in that aspect, but, you know, I think it all comes down to, you know, if you don't have God to kind of root yourself and humble yourself, then you completely insane, because we know that the earth will not run out of resources because God has put it on here for us. So, you know, maybe in the end times, I don't know how all that's going to work out, but, you know, as long as we're here, you know, I mean, and it's interesting because whenever I was learning in like, I was taking this class, it was talking about like ancient civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm talking like even like before Jesus civilizations. Mm-hmm.
BC, way back.
And
then.
A lot of them, they were having problems with what they called population control and overpopulation. And they had barely made up a small area on one continent of the earth. And they were already thinking, oh, okay, we're having a population problem. We're going to have to kill some people. But, you know, I mean, this isn't like a new thing. But it's just a ridiculous thing.
Well, let's pursue it further, because I remember being with the attempted brainwashing, you know, of my own incredibly liberal socialist parents back in the 70s, particularly my mother, who kept giving me these books, The Limits to Growth, The Population Bomb, all this socialist wacko environmental crap that said that there's too many people in the world, we're all going to die. You know, and I thought, oh, this is pretty scary. I'm like 12 years old, right? Eventually I got older and I thought, wait a minute. You know, I started asking questions. I thought, this is a bunch of nonsense, because the population increases and we're still here. And then I think as I get older, you know, and all these things that they predicted, Leonard Nimoy, his famous YouTube about how we're all going to die in the next ice age. It's hysterically funny now, but he was very serious. He shows this Alaskan tundra, you know, whiteout blizzard. This is your future, you know, Tampa, Florida, you know, whatever he said, you know, but it was funny. But people were serious. And then the wackos realized that nobody was scared of the winter, but they might be scared of the summer. So they switched from global cooling to global warming. But it's all the same thing, population reduction. Jacques Cousteau, you know, who I used to watch all the time, his National Geographic specials, Eclipse, me and Philippe, you went under the water to see the Dutch and heavy wind time exploring the ocean depths. He was the one that came out and said, well, we got to kill half the population of the earth. It's a terrible thing to say. And then he said, but it's a terrible thing not to say. Oh, give me a break. You can't have it both ways. It's a terrible thing to say. So I'm wondering where this comes from. Why they think that is it the population more manageable at that point? Do they think they'll have, you know, more beachfront property? I mean, what's going on here? I agree with you that they don't have God. And when you have God, you have a reverence for life and you realize that it's more than just you. But if you think it's only just you because you don't have, then everything's the enemy. Everything is out there is scary. Everything is dangerous. You know, freedom is a scary, dangerous thing. So my question is, why do you think they're doing this? And which countries did they pick out to basically eliminate first? I'm just curious. Whose population goes first?
Yeah, this short little like comedy thing from somebody. I don't know who it was, but it was funny because it was saying, are we part of the population that they're trying to de? Because they're talking about like, depopulation.
Good question.
That's funny. But
yeah, who?
Yeah, I. Who's gonna be depopulated? But yeah, I think part of it might be, you know, they actually think this and they actually agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some of it, you know, it's kind of like, even with all of the facts, you know, sometimes, you know, God can harden hearts, or sometimes they can deny the truth so much, you know, with this kind of like subversion, where even if laid out in front of you, they'll deny it. And so they just go along with this. And then there's that other thing, all those people who know the truth, who even like understand it and believe in that, like, you know, population control isn't really needed. And they still try and push
people
that kind of brought this up. And that's what, you know, is, I think, the biggest question is why, like, what is the purpose in depopulating this? If it's not to, for what they say and their reasons and stuff, because that's obviously false. So what are they wanting to get out of this is, I think, the bigger question. But
cool. One more thing by you I just thought of as you're talking here. You know what happens whenever communists take over a country? Usually millions, sometimes hundreds of millions of people are killed, depending on the size of the country, depending on what's going on. The collective farms in Russia, the starving in Ukraine and in Georgia, you know, under Stalin and under Lenin. Mao killed millions of people in China, maybe 100 million. We don't know how many people he killed. Communism kills. So communism by nature, because it cannot distribute resources, because it doesn't have freedom, always screws up and always kills millions of people anyway. So I'm thinking, this is a really bizarre theory, but I'm curious, that maybe they think in order to get communism, they're going to kill the people first, so they don't have to worry about them dying off later, and then they can maintain communism over the folks that are left, because they know they can't have the same resources that we can have under freedom, because under freedom, who has the most food production? United States. Who has the cleanest environment? United States. What's the difference between us and most of the other countries? Well, what used to be? Freedom. Because in freedom, you have liability in court. You can take companies to court for polluting. Can't do that in a communist country because the only company is the government. You can't sue them. They don't let you.
Yeah, it was actually – Patriot Academy talked about this in like some of our readings or videos or something. I don't even know where, but – I remember they were talking about this kind of idea of American exceptionalism. You know, why if we only had one government in over 300 years, while all these other ones, even in like 20, 40 years, have had like three or four governments, you know? And it was talking about like a three-step kind of idea. Like the first one is our governing like principles in our government system that we had created, which was based on God, you know, and we believe we have to follow the Constitution. And then what was the second part? It was, some part like about implementing those policies, and then our benefits of it. And because we have that kind of like system, that's how we are able to become so exceptional, but now we're failing.
Well,
but
I'm just thinking, as a person that didn't grow up exclusively in this country, we got a big battle going on a live chat right now between Marco and Warren from New Orleans Wake Up, which is interesting. Anyway, Marco says, you know, USA, most food production, maybe not. As an individual country, I think we produce more food than anybody else. California produces more food than most countries, and that's just one state. Florida produces a lot of food. You know, we've got food all through the Midwest. We've got food all, I mean, even Canada up to the breadbasket, the central part of the country. There's a lot of food production going on here. But the biggest reason for food production is freedom, because you get money for it. You know, there's a reason for doing it. You get a reward. You can feed your family on your own food, plus, you know, all the everything that goes beyond that. But American exceptionalism, I want to talk about, it's like, you know, I mentioned this to Brianna off the air, that the Pledge of Allegiance is something that I have never been particularly a fan of, because I don't like allegiance, excuse me. Pledge of Allegiance, because it seems to me like the Pledge of Obedience. I don't like pledging allegiance. It strikes me as you know, although it's the right way to pledge, in other words, you know, for God and country and everything else, it's still a uniform, unifying pledge where we all have to, you know, it's like just follow orders. Pledge. If you don't pledge, there's something wrong with you. It's like a conformist kind of thing. And American exceptionalism. Are we an exceptional country? Yes. But to teach that, and Obama only said one thing that I agree with, and all the time that he was president, that other countries think they're exceptional too. I absolutely agree. I think most countries think they're exceptional or special. Otherwise, why you wouldn't have any kind of nationalism. Not, you know, and that's a good thing. Nationalism is a good thing. you know, loving your country is a good thing. Serving your country, working for your country, that's a good thing. You know, when your nation attacks other nations, that's not a good thing. And that, I don't count that as nationalism. But the idea that we're exceptional and other countries, you know, to the detriment of other countries, that we're the way to go. You know, that our philosophy is just better than everybody else's, and we're going to prove it to you by making you adopt our cultural standards and things like that. That's where I think we run into problems and problems around the world. You know, trying to make Afghanistan into, you know, Kansas ain't going to happen. You know, goat herders and their five-year-old wives are not going to become, you know, Fred and Ethel Mertz from Kansas. Ain't going to happen. So why do it?
You know, supposedly Afghanistan, the whole point, I don't even know where I heard this, and I don't know if it's completely true, so I just want to get that point out there. But, you know, I heard this thing about the war in Afghanistan wasn't actually, they weren't going in to win, they weren't going in to lose, they were just going in to stay. Because what they wanted is there's a behind-the-scenes, I guess, scheme where they could make a lot of money from this war. But I'm going to go into this so that we don't run out of time for me to get through it. But to give you, like, famous questions to ask would definitely be more interesting.
Ooh, give me a famous question.
So, but with this, after they made this agreement to mandate the reduction of humans, put out their numbers, wanted to wipe out a lot of the population, then they had solutions that they had, like, tested and theorized and stuff, and they had put in place since that meeting. So the first one is toxic levels of chemically enhanced fluoride secretly added to the drinking water in every city and community on the planet. Now, this is what he said, and I don't know when this was released, but I know it hasn't been in the last couple of years.
You said this last time, didn't you? Did we go over this list? That sounds familiar. We've talked about this.
No, I think we may have talked about fluoride, but we have not gone over. I mean, yes, a lot of this that's in here is probably gone over before because mm-hmm. this was sent out years ago. So a lot of
so
this
why they want fluoride in the water?
Since.
Yeah, and there's a difference. I actually did a little bit of research on this. There's a difference between pharmaceutical-grade fluoride that goes into your, you know, this stuff and toothpaste and things like that, and industrial waste fluoride that they put in the water. Two totally different things, apparently.
Well,
so not all fluoride is necessarily
bad. What they said is the effects from it that they were – or the effects from it is, of course, it's harmful to adults and stuff, and over time it can be also. But uh-huh. one of the other reasons was that it damages children's neurological development and causes
yep.
other serious ailments.
Uh-huh.
I – whenever they introduce this – you know, I have been drinking the same water that's been contaminated my entire life. You've had it, like, uncontaminated with fluoride. I haven't.
You've had fluoride water?
At this point.
Well, let me say how bad it was. When I was in Toronto, they fluoridated the water. And they fluoridated it so much, all of my generation kids turned, our teeth turned brown. There was too much fluoride in the water. So neurological damage, emotional damage, things like that, probably. I wouldn't be surprised. My life's been pretty hectic. Can we trace it back to
yeah.
fluoride? Yeah. You
and
know, it's very possible.
And that first point, that's something that's true. That's something that's proven. That's something that we have found. You know,
mm-hmm.
so he was right about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that he personally oversaw the delivery to places like Denver, Chicago, Tampa, and Minneapolis water departments. So the second one, or the second way to decrease the population was man-made viruses and diseases. And what he was talking about, he was saying that AIDS was a designer byproduct of the American Disease Institute, which was distributed to the public through vaccines in 1980. And it was used as a preliminary population control tactic. They said that
mm-hmm.
their results were successful, and they decided to have more lab-produced viruses unleashed to the they made more lab-produced viruses that they unleashed to the public.
Yeah, you should look
so.
Up Judy Mikovits. She's been on the show several times. She talked about that. She was arrested by Dr. Fascist for exposing him on AZT and how that was the wrong drug. Bactrim was the drug that reduced or eliminated the effects of HIV, the immunodeficiency virus. But they didn't push that. He pushed AZT because it made him money, in the same way that he blocked hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin during COVID and pushed remdesivir, which killed people because it caused kidney failure, which caused their lungs to inflate with fluid. Actually, it caused bacterial pneumonia. And then everybody went on ventilators to try and blow the fluid out rather than drain it. And so he killed most of the people that died in the hospitals died because of what I call the remdesivir ventilator death march. And so this is well known that he's that kind of guy. So that he's as evil as anybody that's ever lived. You know, you can take your worst Nazi and Dr. Fascist, and they're pretty much the same. Same mentality, same sociopathy, same psychopathy. They don't care how many people they kill as long as the agenda goes forward and they make money. Nazis made a lot of money, by the way. You know, stealing and doing all kinds of things that they did. But it's the same mentality. And AIDS was a trial. I mean, you talk to Judy Mikovits, she'll tell you that the vaccines, you know, don't cure the disease. They actually distribute it. COVID, why do all the people that get the COVID shots get COVID? Well, because the vaccine is COVID. It distributes it. That's the whole point. It creates the variants were created by people that had the jab. Because the jab reduces their immunity, makes them specific to one thing. They have no tolerance to develop immunities to the mutations. The mutations succeed because of the people that are quote, vaccinated. But they're really not. They actually are given COVID. That's the great irony and tragedy. Go ahead.
The World Health Organization had some kind of, like, conference. I guess it was, like, a vaccine conference of some sort. Mm-hmm. And they had 181 people get COVID. Every single one of them were vaccinated.
But, no, it's not funny. It's very consistent with what happens. And hopefully your friends, you know, aren't getting myocarditis and some of the other things. This thing is terrible. Peter McCullough was just on One American News talking about, you know, the huge increase in heart problems. Oh, we talk about Jamie Foxx, the actor. You know, his left side is paralyzed. He's blind in his left eye. And he was perfectly healthy before the COVID shot.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I don't really know who he is, but I've heard
that. Oh, he's a great actor. A really good actor. At least he was. Celine Dion has, like, permanent body stiffness. She can't tour. COVID jab. Here's one for you. Let's get conspiratorial for a second here. Did you hear about the flight, the Cessna? That crashed, that was flying, you know, over Washington in restricted airspace. Just happened like a couple days ago.
I heard of a plane crash in Virginia.
Yeah. Cessna Citation. It's a business jet. The family on board were all Trump supporters and big donors. The father was. I find that interesting. Here's what else. Apparently they say the pilot was slumped over the controls, you know, when the F-16s flew by. I think it might have been a COVID shot, because COVID shots particularly affect pilots because they all fly in reduced oxygen environments. Airplanes are pressurized.
Yeah.
Probably fairly low. But you know about how if you fly on an airliner, you're not flying at sea level air, you're flying at 8,000 foot air, which is about 15% oxygen compared to sea level, which is 22%. So you already have reduced oxygen. And you have a COVID shot, especially if you wear a mask, that reduces your oxygen even more. But if you have a COVID shot, you got blood clots in your system and you're in a reduced oxygen environment. This is why they're having to turn flights back when one of the flight crew becomes incapacitated. God help us if two of them become incapacitated at the same time.
Yeah. But I'm going to veer back to this.
Go back to that. I'm sorry. we do digress.
No,
so
it's all
right. Yeah, how many points are there? Just so I get an idea of how many we need to, how many we think we can cover.
I think there's only like three or four here.
Okay.
But there's an extra thing. But so with this also, among these lab-produced viruses that they were wanting to unleash to the public, one of them was a mutated version of the common flu. And they were trying to replicate the 1918 influenza pandemic, killing 40 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the first strain would be introduced in late 2017 or early 2018.
Mm-hmm. What's the source on that? Because I got somebody you want to look up.
Joseph Spencer.
Okay, so here's what you want to look up. In fact, we did shows on this. John Cullen. John Cullen was part of our 18, you know, World's Greatest Doctors panel shows. We did them last year between the spring and fall in 2022. John Cullen, you look him up on Twitter. I am John Cullen. And go back over his stuff. He's the one that said that, and he found evidence that someone else said the same thing, that they actually went up to frozen bodies in Alaska in the tundra from 1918 to extract DNA of the most dangerous virus ever, the Spanish flu, the H1N1 virus. And they wanted to bring that back and circulate that. And what John Cullen says, and it makes a lot of sense, is that a lot of people that died, they think of COVID, really died of the Spanish flu or some kind of influenza, which is very similar to COVID because they're both coronaviruses. And so he has a chart that far more people were dying of flu than ever died from COVID. So those COVID stats, you can throw them all out. Those COVID stats are useless. Now, John Cullen has a lot of credibility because he got his start at Oracle in California, and he was the one that created the COVID map that Johns Hopkins Hospital University used all throughout the COVID epidemic. Do you remember that? You ever see that, the COVID map? He did it. He knows what he's talking about. I'd love to get him back on the show. He's a busy guy. So look up John Cullen, yeah. C-U-L-L-E-N, and he goes under I am John Cullen. And I think it's like a lowercase dash line or whatever that's called. But yeah, I am John Cullen. Check him out. I'll see if I can get him back on, but he talks all about that. Yeah, but he's got charts and he's got all kinds of stuff. Anyway, back to you.
It says that this has been the third point, is that neurotoxins will be released into the air, including barium chloride, cancer microbes, and viruses. And they'll be released in the air by chemtrails, and they'll be released in the sky daily over every inhabited region by military aircraft. And we see chemtrails. I mean, we see a ton of them in the sky. Like, you can look up and probably count at least 6 or 7 of them. I mean, geez.
Those aren't chemtrails. Those are contrails. Yeah. So I have a line. I have a line that I draw between conspiracy theory and conspiracy reality. The reality, I'm going to give you an example. Like, a reality conspiracy is that the 2020 election was stolen. We know it was stolen. The evidence is overwhelming. That's real. Chemtrails come to me as a theory, as a conspiracy theory that I don't believe. And part of the reason I don't believe it is for years I was a flight instructor. I've studied airplanes. I know what happens in the upper atmosphere. Everything gets dispersed. There's no way you can release stuff in the upper atmosphere and guarantee that it'll go anywhere except all over the Earth. I mean, those upper air, especially if a jet stream, it's 200-mile-an-hour cone of air. You think a chemical release into the air is going to stick around? No, it's going to get transported everywhere. You look at a volcano. When the volcanic ash rises,
well,
it goes all over the world.
Want.
Well, yeah, but the concentration gets diluted so much.
That's why they do it so much, right? Every day?
See, I don't believe it, though. I don't think the only thing I know that's dropped out of airplanes is silver iodide or silver nitrate to seed clouds for rain. I think it's silver nitrate.
Yeah, I heard of cloud seeding, too, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only time I've ever seen things drop from an airplane. Now, the question is, if this were true, that there were chemtrails, that military aircraft were dispersing them, people say civilian airliners are doing it too. And I'm like, okay, show me the nozzle on the wing. Show me the dispersal point. Show me the chemical tank in a wing or the body of the airplane that is set aside for chemicals for dispersal. No one's ever been able to do it.
Well, actually, I did see a video a couple of weeks ago, and it was a female reporter, and she had brown hair. I got to find that video. But she was showing us the canisters at the end that they used to disperse it because they were about to go off or they just landed or something. But I'm going to find that video and send it to you. But there was a lady reporter that was talking about it. I have to spend some time doing this, but I'll do this a different time.
So let's get to a couple more things on the list. So we got fluoride, and we got dropping,
yes,
you know, various cancer-causing things. What are some of the others, real quick? And we got, Jesse's going to join us pretty soon, I'm sure.
So it says that the neurotoxins will induce harmful effects and over time they can be lethal. It says it causes respiratory ailments, cancer, damage to immune systems, and sterilization in men. Since the chemtrail plan was implemented, sperm count has dropped nearly 50%. And this was, I don't know when this was released, but this was years and years and years ago.
Uh-huh.
If I was to make a guess, maybe early 2000s, if I was to take a guess. And then in 1986, sensor guy was taken to an underground installation near Boulder, Colorado, and was introduced to Project Skybeam. And this was with General Andrew Garris. He said he was led down a corridor to a large hangar with the stealth bomber only 20 feet above him. And he was surprised because he thought it was real. And he was surprised because they were telling him that it's a hologram. Now, this is the part that I don't know if it's completely true or not, but at
okay.
this point, with everything else that he said, I wouldn't put it past them, and it is quite believable, but I don't know if it's 100% true. And he said, since the 50s, scientists have been developing holographic technology, and they've improved it to such a state that we can only imagine. He said the bomber looked so real that he thought he could touch it. And nobody would know that it was an illusion if it were fit, like, thousands of feet into the sky. They wouldn't be able to realize that. And they were talking about a Phoenix Lights craft was witnessed by 10,000 people and was the first grand-scale skybeam test on the public, and it succeeded. Now, I've never heard of the Phoenix Lights craft before. Have you?
No. No, this sounds interesting. I love things I've never heard of. But a hologram, so as far as the B-2 bomber, the stealth bomber, people have seen it. It's been in air shows. It's you know, made real noise. It's flown. It's flown missions. You know, I don't think those bombs are dropping from a hologram.
Yeah.
However, I think it's not needed because bombers were obsolete as soon as anti-aircraft missiles were developed. Why would you send something over as a bomber? As a missile launcher from, you know, thousands of miles away? Sure, no problem. But why just launch the missiles from ground or from a ship or a submarine especially? Why would you need a bomber? Bombers are terribly vulnerable. We've known that since World War II. Oh, so
this
Marco
Phoenix
says,
Lights thing.
He says UFO flyover. Marco,
like
you got some more details? Yeah, Marco's got some details. Oh, he said,
yeah.
He says, I did Phoenix Lights, the UFO flyover. Okay, Marco, so maybe you can explain that or give us a website. We'll check it out. We have to check it out after the show. Huh.
A string of lights moving across the sky.
Well, now, there's a lot of stuff with UFOs. In fact, John Cullen just did something that I was just talking about earlier, was talking about the whole the Space Force was developed right after massive sightings of UFOs. Well, isn't that interesting? So we don't hear about it, but Trump said it in a video. In fact, that video is circulating around. John Cullen circulated the video. He said, wait a minute. You know, the Space Force is developed in one day, and the day before, there's a massive UFO sighting. That might not be a coincidence. Marco sent us on the website. Marco's got lots of homework for me after the show. Got to look at all this stuff here. Thanks, Marco. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. So with this, it says, in October of 1938, Orson Wilson, I think that was the name that he said, released his World of Wars radio broadcast to the American public. He said it was so realistic that vast numbers of citizens went into a panic and scrambled to evacuate their cities in droves. And he was saying that the public was very simply tricked.
Well, no, it's interesting have you ever heard the recording?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should listen to it. It's great.
But when I heard I wanted to.
it's Orson Welles. You know, the same person that did Citizen Kane, all right, famous actor, brilliant man. Citizen Kane, you should see that also. It's about William Randolph Hearst, the newspaper magnate, I guess is what they call him. Josie's here. I'll get to her in a second, too. But The War of the Worlds was the Mercury Theater, and it was a radio play. But they announced several times, this is not real. This is a radio play. You know, this is theater. You know, we're making this stuff up, folks. You know, and did the Mercury Theater all the time. But for some reason, maybe it was like the Halloween edition or something that they did it. But they came and they did it very seriously. It's like me when I do my parodies that I, you know, pretend are perfectly serious. But I'm talking about absurd things like Pianki's Picture Perfect Face Saving Shaving Cream, the first black shaving cream. That's a total joke, but it's funny. Besides, it makes Warren upset. That's why I like playing it. He's on all of our live chat right now. But they made it up. But they sounded very serious. the Martians are landing. Here's the craft. It looks like this, you know, and then it all came from H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, right? It was basically a takeoff on War of the Worlds. The Martians are landing. Do you remember what killed the Martians in War of the Worlds? Now that we've digressed totally today.
No.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh,
but it's fascinating. But watch the movie. Watch the original movie. Although the Tom Cruise one is okay. The original one I think is much better. And it was in the 60s. That little 60s special effects that are kind of crazy. Anyway.
Okay, well, I'm going to finish this up real fast.
Then we got Josie. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it says, to amplify those truly in power of all countries and portrayers of depopulation, they have formulated a final stages, or to amplify all of this stuff they're talking about. He was saying, those truly in power of all countries and portrayers of depopulation have formulated the final stages of the plan. They said that in 2024, they will have a global holographic alien invasion causing a panic with real military craft and holographs. They'll have a real military craft in holographs that will inflict actual damage to sell a gimmick. The result of the sowing all of this chaos is that it will let this one world government form without any resistance, and it will be known as the New World Order. People will be doomed to enslavement and accelerated depopulation. And at the end, he was saying that the only hope for human civilization is to acquire and spread knowledge of activities and agendas, resist, retaliate, and conquer the opposing enemies. And then there's one thing, but I think I'm going to wait till next time to read that because I think we're at 10.
No, this is who we are, yeah, but this is really good, though. But what it proves, though, is that folks like us and people that are courageously writing and Mike Lindell and all the other folks that are saying, no, this is a bunch of crap, this is a bunch of nonsense, this is a bunch of garbage, we're right. We've been right all along. You know, the deep state is real. The world government is real. They're trying to take us over. And that legally, you know, we still have our constitution. So as long as we stand up to them with our constitution, they can't win. But if enough people believe this nonsense, you know, or they give up. See, that's the biggest problem. My biggest fear is that people are going to give up. Oh, there's nothing I can do. You can't fight them. It's too late. We've lost. Like that surrender guy, that article that we never do. We'll do it next week. Anyway, why don't you give your sign off, and I'm going to get to Josie, and you have a good week.
All right. This is Brianna Cannon with Government Inquiry on Action Radio. Goodbye.
She started off as a poor child in Nicaragua, living under communism. And now she is a prosperous small businesswoman with a great family, living the dream as an American citizen. Josie Cossey knows all about both worlds, communism and freedom. She knows where your dreams can come alive and where they can die very quickly. And so her report is as much from experience as knowledge, and her passion and crusade are very real. With connections all over Central and South America, Josie brings you the world south of the U.S. border from personal experience, living, not just reporting, what's happening. And now, the Latina Report with Josie Cossey. Sorry, I made Jalan live late a bit late. I was trying to find a way to block Warren. I'm getting tired of him. He's just punching about
good morning.
Live
buenos
yeah.
días, amigos.
Buenos días.
A todos.
¿Cómo está? Guten Tag.
Привет, привет.
Konnichiwa.
Dobre utra means good morning.
Oh, yeah, in Ukrainian, yeah. Ni hao. It's Chinese. What else we got?
Yeah.
G'day. That's Australian.
G'day, chico. Brianna left already?
She's still here, but she's getting so good with the like sign off stuff. I love to do the like the real reporter thing just for the fun of it. But so she's still here. You can talk to her. She might have muted herself.
Brianna,
we'll find out.
Yeah,
you are also absolutely correct about the chemtrails. I know Greg doesn't believe it, but it will come out. It will be exposed. They've been doing that for 40-something years, just like they've been spiking the vaccines, same thing. They've been spiking all the vaccines. They've been using chemtrails. Our military, I have some military guys, but they don't want to come forward on the radio station, and they assure me yes, and they lie to the young military. They say it's to help the pollution and all that, they lie to the young military, but they're doing harm to our brains. That's why a lot of people have dementia, schizophrenia, bipolar. About 6 months ago, they put so much chemtrail in my area in Pensacola that a lot of the children were in the hospital with terrible pneumonia. So many of the hospitals were packed. It's from the chemtrail that they couldn't handle it. And
have they actually traced?
It's happening.
Chemtrails have they actually measured chemtrails in the air with a report that I could read? And have they actually traced it to anybody that suffered a direct illness from it?
Well, there's videos I have sent you, but you don't believe
it. No,
it's
videos,
but okay.
Is there a measurement of chemicals in the air from airplanes that were dropped in a condensation shell? I call them contrails because those are basically those white things. Those are ice crystals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just air that's been sublimated directly from water vapor to ice. But has the air been tested? Is there a testing station with a lab report that says we have an increase in barium chloride and these cancers are most likely caused by this chemical dropped from an airplane? Do we have an established report on that?
Well, the problem with cancer is that there's so many different – oh, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You're fine.
Go ahead, Brianna. Go ahead, Brianna.
There's so many different, like, causes of cancer, within different foods, within different medicines. So even if you have cancer, you can't ever trace where that cancer came from, no matter who has cancer. Now, barium chloride,
absolutely.
I don't really know where all barium chloride goes, so that may be something we might be able to find. And then, of course, what was that third thing? Immune system damage and sterilization in men. We would have to see if it's, like, part of that, like, I guess, barium, what was it, barium chloride or something to see if that had caused it and things like that. I guess that's the only way we could see if direct causes, because like things like the viruses and the microbes and stuff, you can't say like, oh, this was from the sky. You never can really tell somebody where they got a sickness from in general. But
right.
I think if we were to look like, okay, is barium chloride causing this, sterilization or causing respiratory ailments? If we had somebody go up in a plane and test air or something, I don't know. But
well, why not?
I know that there have been a lot of results out of these like different illnesses in general. There's a lot of reports out of this. And a lot of people have been talking about this kind of like chemtrails.
And they're also using drones to drop chemicals so people don't get very sick, because, 1 minute COVID is almost completely gone, and then all of a sudden it's back with a full force again, because Donald Trump is going to have CPAC in somewhere in South Florida, in the Orlando area. So this is Dr. Artis, they say they have evidence where they've seen drones dropping chemicals. And they're doing all this in our food, our milk. I mean, I'm buying raw milk now, fresh eggs, fresh cows. I got them in my freezer. I don't trust this government. Potato chips and Gatorade, they're putting baby fetus on it. So we're not buying no more potato chips and Gatorade in this house. The meat is contaminated with human meat from all the 70,000 children that vanish every year. It's sad, but they've been doing so much. They've been making diamonds of children at the Vatican. It's just the list goes on and on and on and on, and they've been poisoning and doing all these bad things to us for years and years and years to kill us slowly, not all at one time, but slowly. And I don't trust this government. And the CDC, FDA, our State Department, and Pentagon are all in it, and NASA. They're all in it, being a criminal alone. He has his team of people dictating him on what to do. There's head honchos behind all this COVID vaccine and the virus and everything that they did. And way back in the Spanish flu, too, Bill Gates' dad was involved, I heard. So it's just the list goes on and on and on. And this is sad because nobody does anything about it. Like you were saying about the fluoride, look, how many children came to the seat where I assisted as a dental assistant that were doing a fluoride treatment all the time, you know? And now I understand that it's deadly, all this fluoride. And now it's been in our water for years. So all this stuff that they're doing is to tamper with your teeth, to rotten your teeth. When I came from Nicaragua, I never had a toothbrush and toothpaste, and my teeth were perfect. I only had two tiny little cavities, I guess, from the little candy that we ate. But your teeth should not rotten at all. Never, never. And all this, what they're doing is because they need money. Same thing with the viruses, the vaccines they give to kids, autism, bipolar, heart murmur, death syndrome, to arrest the parents so they can take the kids away from the mom. So the mom doesn't know that it was all a plan. So we're finding out all these different things. It's horrible what they've been doing to the American people, and the American people don't have a clue what is going on for years and years, and it's sad. I want to send you some of those videos, Brianna, so I'll message you later, okay, when I get a chance.
You guys are on the chat.
All right.
You're probably in contact. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jamie Foxx, that you guys were talking about it, he has blood clots in his brain. They're kind of hiding it right now. They're saying that he's out of the hospital and all that, but he's going blind from all the blood clots that he has in his brain.
Oh, that's too bad.
And he's paralyzed also. And this is caused.
Yeah, Justin Bieber, too. Marco mentioned Justin Bieber's, his whole face paralysis, too. Same thing as COVID shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned a few minutes ago, Celine Dion. She said, oh, I had this type of a spasm for you. Of course, you might have had a little sickness or something, but the vaccine is coming in full force, destroying your body. A little while back, he was in a wheelchair from the vaccine. And so many movie stars, and they're not talking about it because they don't want you to know. I wanted to talk about a chef that came to my store yesterday.
Okay.
And he was sharing about the vaccines. He says, one of his friends, she's a model, young, beautiful girl, and she halfway paralyzed after the second shot. And they're taking her to California and see if they can help, but she's paralyzed completely from waist down, he says. And his dad went with COVID to the hospital, and he's lucky to be out, but they intubated his father, and they trashed his kidneys. So now he's in dialysis for the rest of his life only because he went in with COVID.
They gave him remdesivir, right?
That's what
remdesivir does.
Yes.
It causes kidney failure.
They
okay,
give him
yeah.
some, but not a lot. And then they
didn't take much.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told him, I said, you know what? Your father's lucky to be alive, to be in dialysis right now. And my niece, my niece's lungs are trash. She walks around with a tank. With a thing in her nose, and it's very sad to see a young girl like that, only because she didn't take the hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, vitamin D3, zinc, and vitamin D, because she hated Trump. And you know what? She paid the price big time. Yeah, she's lucky to be out of the hospital, my niece.
I mean, what does that hatred cause when people are hating Trump so much that they're willing to basically screw their life over? Over stupid stuff.
Yep. It's stupid. She could have been avoided to go to the hospital like my other nieces. Mm-hmm. I had some of the meds and I sent it. I overnight the med to my other niece and she's fine. She didn't go to the hospital and she was already having a little bit of breathing problem. I said, you hold on there. You're not going nowhere. So yeah. We rushed the med to my niece and she's fine. So many people that I heard about it. There were only six, the maximum was 10 days, a doctor in New York City that he got the meds from a pharmacy, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the group that I know from the abortion clinic that we used to go pray, one of the doctors told everybody, do not take the vaccine. do not. And he warned the whole group. And let me tell you, thank God that he did that, because a lot of people, they're not dying from COVID. They just took the meds. So it is.
We warn people too. Remember my PSA?
Yeah.
In fact, I haven't played it for a while because it's got a couple of inaccuracies now. But Brianna, I don't think Brianna's heard this, but this is what we used to play on a regular basis back in 2020.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back.
And what I learned, what Judy Mikovits told me, is that, that's a pretty powerful ad, yeah. But what I learned is that there are treatments for people that since I did that back in 2020, that there's a lot of things that you can do, cardio miracle and other things. You can dissolve the blood clots. You know, you can strengthen your immune system. You can do all kinds of stuff. That's why I don't play that anymore. And I'm not going to play something that's inaccurate, but I do keep it for historic perspective, because at the time I was right on. Once you start modifying your DNA, now I don't know if you can change your DNA back. That I don't know. That might still be accurate.
I don't know.
But as far as nothing you
probably
can do about treating, So that's where you.
And
play
you know,
right.
Greg,
mm-hmm.
when I discovered at the beginning of this call, you know, I was on the radio back and forth with you. We were talking, but when I realized this was all a hoax, all fake, it's because whenever there's a sickness, whenever there's shooting, whenever there's a hurricane coming, our leaders come and they go on TV and they say, hey, you better get water. You better get battery. You better go prepare yourself because a hurricane is coming.
Mm-hmm.
They prepare people. But instead, these criminals, they took the Lysol from our department stores because they didn't want for you to spray Lysol because Lysol kills COVID. They didn't come out and tell us, hey, you can take aspirin and lemon and honey and all this stuff like a lot of Spanish people were doing in their country. And I knew something was wrong, and the Action Radio was reporting from the very beginning. We were talking about it after you got sick and you didn't know you had COVID. But these people are criminal, and these people need to stop the killing. And I can't believe they're still West Florida, there still are demanding people to get vaccinated to start their new jobs. And I'm encouraging a lot of young girls, do not go to work if you're going to be vaccinated because you're going to die. And some people say, but I need the job. I said, well, you're not going to be around.
You don't need it that badly.
What's the purpose of having a job if you're going to die?
Yeah.
You know? So this is criminal that we are continuing and continue vaccinating innocent people and threaten them that you cannot get hired if you're not vaccinated. And this is criminal what they're doing to all these people.
Yeah.
Greg, I wanted to mention about in New York City, the criminal leaders, the mayor, it's coming out. I watched him yesterday. He's asking the community, the citizen of New York City, to open their doors, to open their homes to the illegals. That's so important. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Why don't you, I'm screaming at the TV aloud. I said, why don't you start with you? You take all the refugees to your house. You lead us criminal communists. Take the criminals into your house. So they're kind of like telling people, you have to open the doors to illegals to help them. It's just out of control.
Well, think about
this.
Now, there's a Bill of Rights that doesn't get used very often. It's the third one. And the third one says that soldiers can't be quartered in your home. Let me just go over this here. But what's interesting is that, where's my, I got my bookmark here. Third Amendment, Amendment of the Constitution. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Well, I don't know about that part, but as far as quartering a soldier in your home, what's the difference between the state quartering a soldier in your home and the state quartering an illegal alien in your home? They're still taking over your home. Yeah, there's a difference between a soldier and an illegal alien, but there's no difference between quartering somebody that the government wants in your home because they don't want to pay for them.
Exactly.
So that's a constitutional violation. Yeah. And for Brianna, if you get a chance, and Marco, same thing too. If you go to the live chat, I just post the show from March 2nd, 2020. This is 2 weeks before 15 days to slow the spread. Josie's on this show too. And we talk about chloroquine curing COVID, that there is no pandemic. There is no need for a vaccine. It's a total joke. It's a hoax. We even talked about elderberries. It's in there too. But we know.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah, Brianna, go ahead.
I'm going to have to go here, but I want to let you guys know I found a little bit on the barium chloride. It says it was used to manufacture materials like tiles, automobile clutch, brake linings, rubber, brick, paint, and glass. And it says it's also used in some waters. There's a thing where it's like there's a water system that had a bunch of the barium chloride, and 15 out of the 20 cows had died from drinking it. I looked up like the harmful effects. It says hypokalemia, which results in ventricular tachycardia, hypertension, hypertension and or hypotension, muscle weakness, paralysis. It says it also causes adverse cardiovascular and muscular effects like tachycardia, increased or decreased blood pressure, muscle weakness, and paralysis. And there's a lot of different cases on it. A lot of them is like, oh, there's like 20 people here or one person here or four people here. But
well, it's a dangerous chemical.
I can't
but
find
was
any like actual
air?
Statistic.
Was it in the air? Or was it in the water? It sounds to me like it was in the water. If the folks are picking
it
up.
In the water.
Well, probably some of them water. Was the water, and some of them didn't say where it had come from.
Yeah. See, I think we need air tests. We need to look up and see if there's air samples from different elevations. In other words, if there's a concentration of if someone suspects a chemtrail, you know, it'd be nice to have an aircraft follow behind and you know, do air samples, and then we'll see if anything's coming out. You know, you think that Greenpeace would be able to get like charter an airliner or charter a Learjet, you know, take some air samples and, oh, this is interesting. Let's see what's here behind this airplane. You know, so I'm not convinced. I mean, maybe not, but so we can pick it up next week. Anyway, thanks, Brianna. Appreciate your report today.
Thank you, Brianna. I'll be in touch with you, Brianna.
All right, Jess. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. So the illegals in New York City are taking over the fancy hotels, Greg. Their government is paying for them. And I was watching a report on it that there's a lot of drugs that they're bringing. They're getting drunk, fights with a machete. There's a lot of rape of young girls.
Well, they're behaving as they behaved in their country. You know, there's no
exactly.
difference.
Exactly, like animals with machete. Yeah.
But we're not bringing in immigrants who get here by merit. We're bringing in the criminals. We're bringing in all the people that these countries don't want. And maybe like emptying the jails. Mm-hmm. I think they are. They're emptying the jails. Hey, you take them. We don't want them. Let's have the United States care for them. They're stupid. But you've got all the crimes, and you've got people. And so you combine it. Here's what's going on, which is really interesting. It's a good point you're making here. You've got all these criminals coming up. You've got the government sponsoring them. You've got liberal George Soros DAs that refuse to prosecute them. You've got the whole left saying that you've got to love immigrants or you're a racist. I mean, that's something Warren would say. You know, he's on the live chat right now. And you've got all this other nonsense going on. And these people are protected. Now, American citizens, remember I just did the show yesterday on how all the illegals are filling up the schools. And they don't have health checks like the Americans have to get. And this whole Plyler v. – for anybody that missed the show yesterday, the Plyler v. Doe decision is a bogus Supreme Court decision. It is illegal. And, in fact, I disproved pretty much every sentence of Judge Brennan's opinion, completely trashed him, and showed what a horrible, hypocrite, agenda-driven, leftist maniac he really is. But this is – now, here's another question, though. The churches, they're asking the churches to take these people, too. So what about the separation of church and state, huh? How come they would close the churches during COVID and now they want to open the churches to illegal aliens, both enforcing state rule over the church? How is that possible? And why aren't they complaining about that? Do you know anything about that, Josie?
And you know, No, but I know one of my Sunday school teachers, he goes in the class, he goes, I think we need to open our arms to all the illegals. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And I'm giving him a look. And I don't care. My husband said, calm down, because we're in the class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he thinks we should open our arms to all the illegals and to share the gospel. I can share the gospel in their country. I can go there. That's where we go on missions, to share the gospel in different countries. But, I mean, I can share the gospel, but I'm not going to embrace corruption. And this is illegal. They're breaking our laws. These people coming in, they're invading the United States. And I'm sick and tired of working, sweating, and working so hard. I didn't have help for a whole year because we're giving money for people to sit at home so to bring the illegals to replace Americans. And I'm not hiring no illegal in my store. I'm not doing that. I'd rather work like a mule that I've been doing that for a whole year. I have a lady now.
Have you had illegals come to your store?
50 years.
Have you had illegals come to your store trying to get a job?
Of
okay.
Course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many.
We should videotape them.
Do you have a social security?
Put them on Facebook.
And a permit to work? Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm sorry. Because I don't want to be part of breaking the laws. And that's what I think about my teacher saying that we need to embrace and we're human. Yes, we are human. But, you know, all over the world, there's poor people in Africa, in Bolivia, in Honduras. But we are not the piggy bank of the world. We're sick and tired of working for other people to come and take advantage of us. And we're not doing that. And we're not going to allow it. We're not. And people like me and you that stand strong on this like this, and everybody will do it, they will not be here. But they will be deported. And I was telling that to one of my friends, Cuban. I was telling her, I said, when Donald Trump returns, it's going to be massive deportation. She said, that's not fair. I said, what do you mean it's not fair? So we were arguing about it. And as a Latina that I am, I said, it's not fair to me, I told her. And she's like that. She's Cuban. And and she's been here since a little girl, so she's legal status. And and I said, it's not fair to me that I have to wait years and years, never taking a dime from this government because I signed a piece of paper, and paying lawyers and doing everything that it takes, learning the 100 questions, which they only ask for 6.
Right.
So you're scared to death learning the 100 questions that you have to learn to become a U.S. citizen. But at the end, they only ask you a couple. But you don't know until you get to the point of the testing, you know. But it's not fair, so we argue about that. And the Latino people that really, really don't love this country, or Americans like Warren that doesn't love this country. He doesn't believe like me, and I love this country because when I swear to protect and defend this country, I meant it. I meant it with a passion because I want to be part of America. If you don't want to be part of America, you can just go. Go to another country that you want to be happy with. But if you hate this country, why are you here? Why are you here? You know, get out, like all the fake Hollywood and all the people. Oh, it's Donald Trump wins, I'm moving out of the country.
They never do.
Moving. Maybe a
few
people.
Do, yeah. See, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit here because I understand people who may, you know, have strong disagreements with, like you and I have strong disagreements with what's happening. We hate what's going on with our country, but I'm not going to leave it. I'm going to fight for it. Now, Warren, as disillusioned as he is, as obsessed with racism as he is, and as absolutely just, you know, pushing propaganda and outright lies, which I've deleted a lot of, you know, on live chat, I don't wish him to leave and go somewhere. You know, he doesn't have to do that. He's as a free American, he can stay here.
I'll buy a one-way ticket.
See, this is where you and I differ.
Oh, yeah.
This is where, yeah. And
you
I
don't
just,
like this country,
I
get out.
Yeah. Well, now you can ask him to leave. You know, you can say, hey, if you don't like it here, you can go somewhere else. I don't know exactly where to go. But I'm not
but they're
a position
not gonna
to
leave because this is the best country in the world, period. That's it. I've been to 24 countries, maybe 25. There's nothing like the United States. That's why people come here. That's why people are willing to sacrifice their virginity, their life, everything, torture, and everything that they go through to come across. Because they want to be in a free country. And this criminal's running our country, which is Obama, he's trying to destroy this country because he's trying to please his father's dream, because Obama's dream was to, him and Nelson Mandela wanted to see this country all the way to the bottom. That was his dream, and his son is accomplishing this dream, but we're not going to let him. He can show a taste of it right now, and that's what we're allowing the American people to go through, to a taste of what's going on with these Democrats for years and years and years with everything. That's why it's taking a long time for Donald Trump to return. But we're not going to tolerate communists in America. We're not.
Well, I'm not going to give my freedom just because some wackos up there want to take it all away. Hey, I got some good news for you, and I want to see if you want to join me Friday. So Friday, Matt Gaetz is having another one of his town halls up in Jay. And I post the information. I think I've sent it for your messenger. It's in our group chat. It's on my page. And so I'm going to be there too. And if you remember, I don't know if you were there. You probably weren't. I don't remember seeing you. But
I was in Jay with you.
You were one time. Yeah. But there was a time when I was actually down in Navarre, and there was I think it was East River something restaurant, and it was out in the back in the veranda. That. And I had four bills, and I presented to him, in writing, handed them to him, and I got the microphone, and I got to present him and talk about him. And it was pretty cool. The audience was really into it. Of course, it didn't make the news, except on our show. But I'm going to do the same thing this time, and I'm hoping to talk to him ahead of time because I don't like to surprise people. But he's got the bill. Yeah. Staff has the bill. I've met with him twice now. And so, but what if you want to come up, I don't know if you're able to because it's 5:30 to 7, and I know your store – is open, and that might be snoring.
I'll be able to go.
Well, we need someone to videotape it because I'm gonna say it out loud. Also, I mean, I'm gonna openly present this bill to everybody in front of Matt Gaetz in front of everybody, and it's my constitutional amendment to take away the power of Congress to borrow money. It's huge.
And also, Matt Gaetz, what he's doing is he's asking. He's asking about where are they getting all this money for these drug shows on our military bases and different government facilities. So he's on full force asking and going after the leaders, promoting the training, all these shows, And they have been canceling a lot of shows because of him, because they're
where are
they
getting the
money?
I mean, I don't imagine Congress approved the drag show, item on the budget for the military bases. So where did Congress approve that? That's actually in the budget.
Well, he's been asking about it, and so lately they were talking about it that they've been canceling a lot of drag shows on base military facilities because it's our taxes paying for it. And we disagree on all this corruption. If they want to do a show, do it on their own with their own budget, not on my sweat. You're not going to be doing that, corrupting and raping my little kids. And another thing, John Sullivan received videos of J6 unseen by the public. So there's a lot unveiling. There's a lot coming up. It's getting closer. So we're going to be learning a lot. The videos that Tucker has now, John Sullivan has them. So,
well, the problem is they were only given to Tucker at first, and only given to a couple of other people second and third. They should all be out in the public domain. This should be this is public information.
The reason they did that is so they can show the people how corrupt they are, because now Tucker's out of a job. Because they don't want us to see the video. So now they're giving them to John Sullivan. Because, see, if the Republicans come out with the video, say, oh, you're fake, you edit the video, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they want somebody
else.
Well,
not if they're government, they've got government stamps on them, they've got government marks on them, they've got identifying timestamps, and this is government surveillance cameras. It's easy to tell which are fake and which aren't.
Yeah.
So in that respect, I don't think that's as much of an issue.
Yeah, so there's a lot going to be happening soon. So,
that's for sure.
But it's pretty sad what the life we've been living with everything, mm-hmm. And I know you and me disagree on a lot of stuff, but hey.
Well, that's okay.
We are in a free country, and, you know, we have our opinions and stuff that we know. And like I say, this young military guy, he knows all about chemtrails, but he said, oh, they'll recognize my voice, blah, blah, blah.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, too bad. Get him to write a statement. Get him to write a statement. I'll read it on the air, or you can read it on the air.
I'll
read
it to him again.
Soldier
yeah.
X.
Mm-hmm. So, but there,
we'll call him Soldier
X, you know, Greg,
yeah.
You just have to think for a minute. If they've been hiding or killing a lot of innocent people that have come forward how to cure cancer, because it's all about the money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of my Filipino girlfriends, she worked here in the local area as an RN, and she said, you know, she said, it's sad because one of our friends, pastor, he's going through cancer, and we've been trying to help him, but he's trusting the doctors with all this chemo. And he said the only person that he will listen to is Judy Mikovits. And I said, well, I don't know if I can get a hold of her so you can listen to her, because
she's got so much stuff out there. Go to her Plandemic tapes and go to her writings, and she's got an article on Substack now. There's mm-hmm. okay, you know, you don't have to talk to Judy directly. She's really busy. She doesn't have time to talk to everybody. That's why I only bother her rarely. Well, I did send her a text yesterday, and I'll tell you why. And I don't mind announcing this, because this is, I think, good information. Mm-hmm. The recording, I was listening. I still got a little bit to go. It's a long recording. It's great. It's like an hour or maybe even 2 hours. But Elon Musk with Robert Francis Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard's on there.
Uh-huh.
A couple of other folks are on there. It's an incredible recording. It's amazing. And
interesting
is unbelievable. But what was interesting to me, and this is why I talked to Judy about it, I'm hoping to get Judy and RFK. I'd love to meet with them, Zoom meet, get them on the show, do something. Because most of what he's talking mm-hmm. about, we already have bills for. He's talking about vaccine, liability. And it's like, we got a bill for that. He's
uh-huh.
talking about big tech censorship, but we got a bill for that. He's talking about the national debt is a huge problem. We got a constitutional amendment for that. You know, in fact, it's interesting that his uncle, John Kennedy, I've got this in the third hour, he wrote an executive order basically eliminating the Fed, the Federal Reserve, and going to silver certificates
uh-huh.
and having real money. And he thinks the CIA killed him for it. Amongst other things, probably Vietnam War too.
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting though. He may be amenable. If you look at my constitutional amendment, and this is why this one's so critical, I've redone it.
Uh-huh.
I've written it in such. Well, let me get it out here real quickly. I think you'll find this really interesting. This is 10 times more powerful than it was originally, and originally it was earth shattering. Now it's like devastating
mm-hmm.
because here we go, constitutional amendment. Oh yeah. So listen to this. So Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution shall be amended by striking Clause 2 to borrow money on the credit of the United States. So that gets rid of the borrowing power. No more borrowing because
mm-hmm.
they have to be authorized to do it, right? Well, if you take away borrowing, you take away most of the agenda of the Democrat and Republican Party. Here's the good part. Section 8, Clause 1 shall be amended by adding at the end, and Congress shall have no power to borrow money on the credit of the United States, nor to print mm-hmm. money to cover expenses, nor authorize the purchase or holding of securities. That means all the Treasury notes, bills, they can't do that, right? Nor to authorize or permit any central bank, that's the Fed, that's CBDC, nor to allow any control of money beyond Congress. That takes out any world government, any treaty, any anything. That's powerful.
Hmm.
So let me start to do it again
that's
real quickly.
Good.
I have my moments, So it says Congress shall have no power to borrow money on the credit of the United States, nor to print money to cover expenses, nor to authorize the purchase or holding of securities, nor to authorize or permit any central bank, nor to allow any control of money beyond Congress.
Hmm.
Boom. That is freedom.
Boom. There you go.
Boom. That is
have.
Freedom.
Boom.
That frees us from social credits, from bank control of stuff. It frees us from inflation. It's permanent prosperity. It gets rid of the Fed. It stops Congress from borrowing. It gets the national debt paid off. It makes our money more valuable. It means we have deflation, which means the value of money transfers back to us from the government and from the banks. It's four lines.
Mm.
That's
yeah.
it. That was the whole thing. Four lines.
You don't have to write a 1,000 pages.
No, I'm kind of specializing.
I'm just kidding.
It literally is four lines. you know, I get the first section is one line. The second section is three lines. And then I have the last part. This amendment takes effect immediately upon ratification. But that's it. It's four lines. That's economic. That's freedom in four lines. And people think this is difficult. It's not.
Yeah, the corruption has been so deep for 70-something years. So it's going to change. So I believe when Donald Trump returns, a lot of stuff is going to change. Lots, including our money. So, that's what,
we'll see.
I heard.
I'm not convinced. I think the difference is you're waiting. And, why don't you take my bill to the folks that you talk to? You know, the folks that are talking about Trump coming back. And what have they done? What have they said?
I have.
What have they said?
They just take it and nothing is happening. It's upsetting me. I have given
won't they? This is a viable constitutional amendment. Doesn't require a constitutional convention. We can pressure Congress to do it. That's what lobbyists do. You know, we can have the states ratify it in a resolution. We don't have to have a constitutional convention. They ratify it by resolution. Say we will ratify this if Congress passes it. This is the one we want. And if enough states do that, there might be enough pressure on Congress that they'll do it. This is the battle, because the battle is that currently right now with the insanity going on, with people saying that we've saved the economy, we've saved trillions of dollars, when in fact they've destroyed the economy and they're going to spend trillions of dollars. You know, this is insanity. This is economic suicide. The way to stop it has to be stopped now. Well, here's what I'm hoping, is that Matt Gaetz will take it to Donald Trump. That's what I'm hoping after our Friday meet. That's why I'd love you to be there. So if you're there, you know, maybe get a few more Action Radio folks there.
I'll talk to him in Spanish.
Yeah, there you go. Does he speak Spanish? He does, doesn't he?
He speaks Spanish, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Yeah.
And we always take our picture together. And last time I did it with him and his wife. Cute girl. She looks like a teenager.
Don't say that. He was accused of that. He hit a false accusation of transporting a minor.
No,
it
was all a lie. We knew that.
Of course it was a lie. But it's always a lie.
People were calling me, is that true about my gay? I said, no, that's another stunt they're pulling. And
well, remember when I asked you guys, and Pianchi was online. I said, what do you think my bogus sex scandal is going to be? And then Pianchi says, well, probably is going to involve farm animals, Greg. Like, great, thanks, Pianchi. Just what I need. Anyway, but it was funny just to get it out early and say, wait a minute, Anyway, like I said, all these things are quite well. There's a lot of really interesting stuff. Like I said, I'm fascinated by the churches and why they're not screaming and yelling. Do you think the churches are lost?
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on in other countries? You know, are they being asked to, are they being co-opted into this? Are they requiring their parishioners to get the jab? What's happening in like Central and South America? What's the COVID news down there?
Yes, I was talking to some of my friends in Cuba, and everybody's vaccinated, including the little kid Cuba, and up. They're vaccinated. It's horrible. I know. And in Puerto Rico, too, they were forcing a lot of children, 5 and older, to be vaccinated. But the problem, this family that I know, I was on the phone with them last night, actually, because I wanted to get some information on what's going on. A lot of people are having strokes. A lot of pregnant women, like the daughter of my friend in Cuba, she's pregnant and she's very, very ill, like very sick, like not just vomiting, but other sickness. And she's about 4 months pregnant almost. And they don't have meds. They don't have anything in the hospitals at all. So it's like you have to tough it out. And but a lot of people are dying from a stroke, their heart condition. Yeah, so it's hitting Cuba too. And
what's the treatment for blood clots? I mean, what does Brian Artis recommend? Is it Cardio Miracle or what are they recommending for doing something about the blood clots? Do you know? Do you remember?
I forgot. He has different things that he's recommended, but he says, I think the key point is magnesia, and also he's doing. Because a lot of people are shedding around you, and it is happening. It's real. At first, we thought it was not true that they're just saying that, but he said it is real. The vaccinated people are shedding the vaccine Like, for example, I'm in a Sunday school class, and I will say 80% of the people in the class are vaccinated, and the doors are closed, and it's a big group of 30-something people we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my husband, I think we might have to take a break of Sunday school right now, you know, until, I don't know what we're going to do. I hate to miss my class, but
well, I don't think it's a problem. I work with vaccinated people.
Dr.
I've been around vaccinated people. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, Dr. Otis was talking also about nicotine patches to put on your arm to help you to detox. Yeah, this is crazy.
Nicotine's addictive, though.
Patch.
Yeah, but nicotine's addictive, so how does that work?
I don't know, but he was talking about it. He said, this is a miracle, he goes. And remember,
really?
Greg, there are a lot of the smokers I'm trying to remember how it went, the story, that they were encouraged them to stop smoking because of the vaccine. And in reality, this, it was helping them through the COVID and through the shots, you know. So he's wearing a patch every day, him and his wife, with a low percentage to get cure of anything or any water we're drinking, he said, or any bacteria in your system. And it is amazing. He said, I didn't want to take the gun because it made me want to vomit. He said that because, you know, if you're not a smoker, you don't want to taste that like me. Well, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
But he was talking about that. You need to invite him to the show again because I want to learn more about it, too.
Okay.
About
I know his producer, so, you know, I'm friends with his producer. It's not hard to do. But I haven't heard from Brian since our chat last year. Okay. Make a little note here.
Yes.
Dr.
Artis. I want to know more about it. Yeah.
Well, maybe he can help with vaccine product liability. I got one more thing I want to ask you about because it's going to be in the second hour, third hour actually. Do you remember? Do you remember? And I said this over and over and over again, right at either on or about January 6th, 2021. I said that Mike Pence is a traitor. I said that I think he's made a deal. He's made a deal to sink Trump in exchange for the GOP nomination in 2024. Remember me saying that over and over and over again?
You said that.
He's a traitor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's in the news. It's come out. I'll be taking it in the next hour. Or I can start now if you want. But they're saying,
but,
yeah. Well, D.C. Drano came out with a big report.
Mm-hmm. But my opinion, at first I thought he was a traitor, but it was all well organized.
Tell me why you think Mike Pence... So,
yeah.
Well, let me read this to you real quickly.
Go ahead, read.
All right, so here's what it says. This is from D.C. Drano, or actually I think it's from Rogan O'Hanley. And it's the original article that I found. It is J.D. Rucker, and I subscribe to his Substack. If rumors are true about Mike Pence in 2020, he should be in jail instead of running for president. He says, old wounds were opened today as a rumor that I had heard in 2021 was reintroduced regarding Mike Pence and the stolen 2020 election. So these folks are the ones that obviously believe the truth, which is it was stolen. He says, diehard Trump supporter Rogan O'Hanley dropped some bombshell allegations. These echo what I've been saying since 2021. In fact, my podcast was banned for anyway. So Rogan O'Hanley said, now that Mike Pence has entered the race, in other words, for president, let me tell you all some inside info. He says, in the days leading up to J6, that'd be January 6th for those that aren't sure, he says, I was informed by trusted sources that Pence wasn't going to contest the rigged Electoral College results. I couldn't believe it. How could he backstab 74 million people and allow fraud to overthrow our executive branch? But then I was told why. He said he cut a deal with the Koch fundraising network to be their lead horse in 2024 if he backstabbed Trump and the MAGA movement in 2020. I told you. I knew this had happened. I didn't have any proof of it, obviously. I don't have the sources, but it's coming out.
Who's
it's
reporting
coming
out.
J.D. Rucker and Rogan O'Hanley. It's also in D.C. Drano. So go to D.C. Drano on Twitter. You'll see it as well.
Yeah.
He says, to those that say that he didn't have the power to contest fraudulent ballots and allow state legislatures to conduct further review, then why did they change the Electoral College Act in 2022 to explicitly state the vice president could no longer facilitate that exact process? Remember, we said this too. We said that that Vice President Pence, his job, he says he couldn't do it. Well, absolutely he could. Not only he could, but he had to do it. He had to send the Trump electors and the Brandon electors when they had dual slates. Those, remember those seven battleground states that had both mm-hmm. Trump and Brandon electors?
Yeah.
They had to send those back, and the state legislatures had to decide which ones were the ones they were sending in. That was the whole point of January 6th, yeah. was to count them. And back in December, when December 15th, when the states voted, remember when they blocked Republican electors from voting? And they only took the
yeah.
Democrat ones? So, I mean, there was total, Michigan yeah. did that. Total fraud. State police was saying, I'm sorry, you can't come in here. And the guy's like, I'm a Republican. I'm an attorney. I'm an electoral college voter. You have to
oh,
be.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. Well, I'm just following orders. Yeah, uh-huh. I heard that before, too. Anyway, so I knew this was a fraud. I knew this was a setup. And I knew that Pence, that was his job. His job, he was the real coup. So the January, all the people up top, that wasn't the coup. The coup was Mike Pence not taking the Brandon electors. The coup was all the arm twisting that went on under the Capitol to arm twist the members of the House and the Senate to make sure they voted for Brandon, even though there were Trump electors, which are still out there. They're still viable. They haven't gone away. People don't realize that.
Yeah,
and the one article that I used to quote from was taken off the offline. It was removed. However, I copied the text. And I have it. So, you know,
well,
told you.
It's okay yeah. with all the stories to me right mm-hmm. now, but mm-hmm. My opinion is he's not a traitor. I thought so, and I was very upset about it.
Mm.
But we have learned so much since then.
Yeah, we disagree.
That he's not, but we'll see. I mean, hey.
Nah,
it's all
traitor.
Come
he's
out.
A miserable, low-life traitor. He sabotaged the election. He's like, yeah. I have no use for Mike Pence. Anyway, I don't want to take away your whole report, but I wanted to let you know. Go ahead.
The Democrats are the ones that stole the election, and they had it all well organized with the about 200 CIA, FBI agents involved in
mm-hmm.
this takeover of January the 6th, and a lot of Ukrainian neo-Nazis were brought by Nancy Pelosi and NBC mayor.
But it all hinged on not
wait,
counting
wait.
The Trump electors.
And then, I know. And then they got Mike Pence out because he was in danger. So Nancy Pelosi and her crooked criminal communist team can do the voting themselves. So it's hard to believe all this, but yeah, I know.
Now, the only thing he was in danger of was actually following the Constitution. That was what he was in danger of. He was in danger of doing the right thing. He was in danger of following the law. He was in danger of actually sending the legislators back, the electors back to the state legislatures to decide which slate was real.
Yeah.
And if they put the Brandon ones forward, mm-hmm. we could still do audits and stuff like that. No, he
yeah.
is the coup. He is the coup.
Yeah.
Without,
well, it's
without
okay
him,
for you to believe that.
Well, it's more than believe it. I know it.
I don't believe it, but it's okay if you want to.
Well,
believe
let me ask
it,
you. Let me
you
ask you this then.
Same,
let me ask
all
you this then.
Stage right now.
If Mike Pence
yes.
had sent the state legislators, the electors back to the states, held up January 6th for a few days, and they had come back with more Trump electors than Brandon electors, and Trump was over 270, had he done that, who'd be in the White House right now?
But we didn't want Donald Trump to be in the White House because you never would have find out the huge corruption
sure
that's been going on
no,
in the country
sure you
for
no, that's not true.
Years.
No, that's not
it
true
is.
Because Trump would have had the no, because uh-huh. Trump would have had the entire Department of Justice. He could have fired the traitors. He could have hired new lawyers,
no.
new America First lawyers,
no,
and because, they would have investigated all
because
that.
Because it's hard to believe, but the corruption is so deep. That if Trump would have won, he can arrest this and this and that. And the Supreme Court, half of the Supreme Court are corrupt, and half of the judges are corrupt. And Obama wasn't thinking about it when he didn't elect a lot of the judges. But Donald Trump, I think he put about 360 good judges in. They're ready to go. So if we never would have known. So it has to happen this way in order
–
to bring down
you.
The cabal, and it's going to happen, and you'll see,
no.
it will happen.
You just said that it's that the Trump we know won the election should not be in the White House because we have to expose the criminals. That does not make sense.
It does make sense.
No,
because
no, it doesn't.
If Donald Trump would have fought because they were stealing his election. It would have continued next year and the year and 4 years later and another 4 years. And the military and Trump are stopping this corruption once and for all. It's all coming down, the child trafficking. the government, the money laundering, the adrenochrome, the food, the health insurance, the schooling, the illegals coming in. The list is on and on and on. It is so big. It is so big. And they have him and President Trump and Putin have rescued probably over 50,000 kids in the Ukraine already. And they've been accusing Putin that he's a kidnapper and all that, which is not true. So there's a lot happening, and it's taking longer than what we expected, and they're telling us to be patient.
Yeah, a lot longer.
And I have
I'm
to be
still
patient.
Waiting.
I have to trust.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't have to be patient, and I don't have to trust this whole idea at all. I think it's total nonsense. Yeah, well, you have, but I don't.
I know. I
mean, here's the thing, though. To think that Donald Trump could be more effective and more good could be done with him outside the White House and having a fraudulent, illegal Brandon in the White House, that makes no sense. Because Donald Trump, with the resources of the president.
I don't even know if when he comes back, he's going to go to the White House. I'm not sure about that.
Yes, he is.
So.
I hope he does.
No.
Oh, no, this is historic. This is now. See, I'm looking at getting us back to our founding. I'm looking at 4 years of opportunity with Donald Trump as president, and me with 20 million listeners to be able to affect policy. That's what I'm looking at. Going to happen.
I think
that's
he's
going to
be our 19th president. That's what I think.
19th? I don't agree. That's okay.
So none of all these presidents, they've been fake. All of them.
I'll tell you what.
I don't even think we're going to have an election coming up, actually. So
well, that'd be
that's my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very curious to see how it works out. Let's see what Donald Trump and all his wonderful people can do.
I'll let you know if I can come on Friday, okay?
Okay. That'd be fun. Yeah, I'd love to have you up there. We need a video.
I got to go.
Okay.
All right. This is,
all right. Give yourself a plug.
This is Josie reporting from Milton, Florida. And stop by and see me at Ruth Uniform Shop in Pensacola. God bless you, Greg. And talk to you next week. Hopefully we got more exciting news.
Yeah, well, you're my favorite person to disagree with. No.
Yeah, I have to fight
We have the best disagreements. Yeah, so for those that don't know, Josie and I are lifelong friends. You know, we're just, we disagree on this completely, but that's okay. And that's the whole, that's what free speech is all about.
We get
on great.
That's right,
yeah.
People.
I hope to see you Friday.
God bless.
Okay, God bless you,
yeah,
too. You
I
take
hope
care.
I can go. I think so. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Ciao.
All right, see ya. 902. This has been a fun day. Sort of evicted Marco from, I mean, not Marco, but from Warren from New Orleans Wake Up, who is just spewing absolute venom and filth and disgusting stuff that I just started deleting his messages. Unfortunately, he left. So that's the good news. Marco is a rather interesting emoji on live chat, too. I don't know if I can ban them. I was trying to do a little search. I'll see if I can do that or just block people, because I don't care if you disagree with me. I really don't. In fact, I left on Warren's comments where he disagreed with me. But then he started picking on Josie and started picking on Brianna. And I'm just not going to allow that, especially when he's lying like crazy about them. I said, no, ain't going to happen. And so those comments get deleted. So I got to figure a way to deal with Warren. And so if Warren's still listening or catches the podcast, it's very simple. If you're a decent human being and you just disagree, got no problem. Josie and I disagree all the time. Fundamentally on huge issues, and that's okay. But if you come on the show and start lying and propagandizing and attacking and doing all kinds of venomous, nasty stuff, I'm not going to put up with that stuff. I'm just not. Anyway, Marco, feel free to weigh in on that. He'll be curious. I'm going to take a little break now. So it's 9:03. Let me correct my little timeline here. Let me play some things for you guys. First and only break, and then I'll be back with my theory of Mike Pence, the traitor. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. Well, that sounds good. Even better. Okay, how about your car? If you want the best service for your vehicle, please talk to James at Florida Stores Automotive. Conveniently located at 6715 Caroline Street in the historic district of Milton, Florida, right between the Milton Bakery and the Blackwater Trail. Whether you need an oil change or an entire engine replaced, this is the place. The phone number is 850-623-6651. That's 850-623-6651. Call, ask questions, and get the information you need. Florida Stores Automotive is a full-service automotive shop for both domestic and imports, modern and classic. It is a family-owned business here in our Milton community. Open weekdays from 7:30 to 5 p.m., Florida Stores Automotive is a convenient place to keep your car maintained and on the road. Ask them about Firestone tires and the rotation and maintenance plan. Florida Stores Automotive. I go there. You should too. Do you know your way around healthcare, insurance, pharmacies, surgery, alternative treatments and choices? I don't. Which is why I'm so glad I met Priscilla Romans, had her on Action Radio, and learned about health patient advocacy. She is the founder of Grace Care. And now as an affiliate of Grace Care, we are proud to offer through our discount code, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws, a 10% discount. Grace Care saves you both time and money. They provide medical advocacy, consultation, advice, and recommendations nationwide. Their website is gracecare.com. That's GRAITH care.com. You can email them at gracecare.adm@gmail.com or call them at 469-864-7149. That's 469-864-7149. Grace Care, better health through better knowledge and advocacy. Hello, this is Greg Penglis for our newest shooting range here in Milton, Florida. Stand Your Ground. My friend Jason Myers and crew are creating an incredible facility for our city. Stand Your Ground is located at 6632 Elba Street. The phone number is 850-789-1776. Their email is standyourground1776@gmail.com. Here you'll find either in process or already going an indoor shooting range, axe throwing, archery, a rage room, self-defense classes, concealed carry weapons classes, security license training, paintball, a full-service gun store, and 24/7 online ordering. So come on down or contact them by phone, email, or website and learn how you can best stand your ground. This is Greg Penglis for Strike Force, your source for pure energy. Strike Force is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. You make your energy drink yourself. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strike Force, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strike Force is at StrikeForceEnergy.com. That's StrikeForceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened.
we talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
And we are back. It's 9:10 a.m. Central Time here on the Gulf Coast in Milton, Florida, near the city of Pensacola, and near the Blue Angels, and near the beach, and near some really beautiful stuff, actually. I'm glad to be here in Florida. I had enough of California. 30 years was enough, so now I'm out here having much more fun. All right, let's get back to news. All right. So anyway, as I end up the last hour with Josie, I finally feel vindication. I find absolutely ecstatic at the fact that I was right. I'm taking a little victory lap. I'm sorry. This is fascinating stuff. So Mike Pence, I believe, is the linchpin of the treason that put illegal Brandon in the White House, that without him, that the coup would not have succeeded. They had to have him because they had to have him not send the electors back to the states. Now, we all know, I've got several articles on this, that the state legislatures control the electors. So the way the elections work, the way the republic works, first of all, we're not a democracy. So all you folks that are fighting for democracy, you're wasting your time. We aren't a democracy. We're a republic. It says so, Article 4, Section 4. We are guaranteed a republican form of government. I wish they just said a republic, because when you say republican, people think, boy, you're guaranteed you're the Republican Party. No. The Republican Party and a republic have virtually nothing to do with each other any more than the Democrat Party has anything to do with democracy. They don't. Democrats are outright Marxists, and the Republican Party is, I don't know what they are, surrender, weak. They need what's that testosterone booster? You know, that the big hurt, and what's his name? You know, we need to get him what's the equivalent of Viagra for politicians? You know, I don't know. I'll think of it anyway. Maybe I'll make a little sarcastic piece on this. Could be kind of funny. But the point is that the Republicans are useless. They're a bunch of geldings. But the linchpin gelding is Mike Pence, because without Mike Pence, there'd have been no coup. So here's the coup. Very simply, they had to, in order to cheat, they did a bunch of things to cheat. So there's several layers of cheating. This is how I know that they knew that Brandon could not win the election. They knew that Brandon couldn't beat Trump. This is why there's so many different layers of cheating. You don't have this many layers of cheating if you know that your candidate's going to win, or at least there's a pretty decent chance, or at least you're reasonably sure. But if you know your candidate can't win, then you have all these layers of cheating. Well, the first layer being Facebook, with all the money they spend in the critical districts to obscure the vote. The cheating that went on with the count, blocking out the Republicans, sabotaging the stuff at night, doing all the fake stuff, all the extra ballots that arrived, the computer manipulation, the hacking of the voting machines, all that stuff. That was all planned. That you don't just do that spontaneously. That was planned. Why? Because they knew Brandon couldn't win. So you look at everything else that happened. The whole January 6th, once the electors were picked, Trump was way ahead at 10 p.m. He'd won the election at 10 p.m. on election day. Well, then they stopped the count, redid everything, did the computer hacks, did all the ballot stuffing, did all the crazy stuff they did. And all of a sudden the next morning, Brandon's winning. Oh, give me a break. That's impossible, right? And we know it's impossible by the computer statistics. This is statistically impossible. We've seen all the videos of the ballot stuffing, all the extra ballots, all the sabotage like in Arizona in 2022, where the ballots didn't fit the machines. The fact these machines have modems, the fact that every Democrat came out and said publicly that voting machines can be hacked, all the different voting projects, all the different things that went on, all the stuff that happened, and the layers and layers and layers and layers of fraud, the voting, the ballot harvesting. I mean, the list goes on. The endless list of vote fraud, all designed to steal the election because they knew that Brandon couldn't beat Trump. That's why they did so much. Again, simple logic. If you know your candidate is going to win because they're better than the other candidate, you don't go through all this cheating. Because why would you risk cheating with no gain? Your candidate's going to win, right? So why would you risk cheating for your candidate if you know your candidate's going to win? The only reason you cheat is because you know your candidate's going to lose. That's why they cheated. And the linchpin of all of it the central point, the one thing that absolutely had to happen was that once the states, the state legislatures, which control the elections, by the way, state legislators control the electors from their state. And it's very clearly in the Constitution. I mean, I could pull it out and quote it for you. I mean, I have to find it. You know, it's not that hard to find. It's probably in Article 2. Article 2, Constitution of the United States, Article 1, Article 2. No, it's probably Article 1, actually. Section, Senate shall be chosen, no president, vice president, here we go. Section 5, Article 1. Ah, see, I found it faster than I thought. Each house shall be the judge of the elections from, oh, that's not right. That's House of Congress. Section 4, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Say that again. The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations. See, I think that's a problem in the Constitution. But it's there, so we have to go by it. Congress shall assemble at least once every year in meeting in a da-da-da-da. Where's it talking about the electors? Is it a point of general proceedings? I know it's here somewhere. Anyway, I know it says the state legislatures control the elections. I'll see if I can find it real quick. Somebody who can just pull it up real fast probably can find it. I'm just looking. I'm not, it's hard to read the Constitution. Where is it? I know it's there. I just don't know where it is, but I know it's there. Anyway, so legislatures determine the electors. All right. So the way the republic works is separation of powers. So no one entity has control over everything. That's why in a democracy, the people control everything. The people vote for everything, and the people can be corrupted and forced to do all kinds of really bad things. So the people elect the House of Representatives. The representatives represent the people by congressional district. It's by population. So in other words, they divide up the country and decide how many people in the congressional district, and each district has roughly the same amount of people, unless there's only, if there are enough people, then one person represents the whole state. I think Wyoming has one representative. So the people elect the House of Representatives. That's by the Constitution. The state legislatures used to elect the senators, and the reason for that was so that the Senate would have representation in Congress. That's what that's for. So the people elect the House. The states individually elect the senators. Now, the reason there are two senators, even in big states and little states, is because the states are equal. The state of Rhode Island is small. The state of Texas is large, but they both have two senators. Why? Because they're independent political units. They are sovereign within themselves. Doesn't matter how big they are. Doesn't matter how many people they have. You know, if they want more states, then divide Texas into smaller states. You can do that. But Alaska is the biggest of all. You know, as far as area goes, they have two senators. Rhode Island is the smallest. They have two senators. Why? Because the states are independent sovereign units. You know, able to determine everything for themselves except what they've delegated to the federal government and the Constitution. So the states individually elect the senators. That's the way it's supposed to happen. So we have to repeal the 17th Amendment and get back to that. Now, who elects the president? The states elect the president collectively. Okay? So the states, through their electors, elect the president. So what about the people voting directly for the president? The people do not vote directly for the president. That would be a democracy. So you've got to have a separation. So it's the people, the states, individually, the states collectively. So the reason is the president represents the United States to the world. So the president is the representative of all the states to the world and, signs bills and, vetoes bills and things like that, but primarily and executes the laws faithfully and that kind of stuff. But the states, all the states help to elect the president. That's why we have an electoral college. So that it's not by population. Because if it were strictly by population, then the largest three cities, all run by Democrats, would always win the presidency, and the rest of the country would be left out. So the whole purpose of the Electoral College is to make sure that every state has standing in terms of electing the president. So they have electors. Now, who controls those electors? The state legislature controls those electors. So, but they have to certify it, right? So the states send their electors. And they can base it on the popular vote. They can base it on nothing. They can base it on whatever they want. So the states determine how they elect, how they choose their electors to vote for president. Now, the governors and secretaries of state of some of these states, like Georgia, Pennsylvania, and other places, they said, no, we're going to decide. And they also changed all the rules. They changed all the rules of voting right before. They said COVID. COVID was the excuse. So they changed all the rules, you know, to favor Brandon. That's how we know they cheated. That's how we know, because they changed all the rules. That's how we know they knew that Brandon couldn't win. All right. So the proof that Brandon could not win the election is the Democrats' behavior before the election, using COVID, ballot harvesting, all the things, mail-in ballots, everything they did, all the rule changes, everything else like that, was guaranteed to elect Brandon over Donald Trump. But they still had to make sure that it wouldn't happen. And the last line of defense was the electors to be counted on January 6th. This is why January 6th is so important. So the electors were chosen December 15th, 2020. So what happened was that if you take the Trump electors, Trump won. Let me say that again. If you take all the Trump electors, including the battleground states where they had two sets of electors, if you take the Trump electors from those states with two states and you add them to the other Trump electors, Trump won. So how do you steal the election knowing that the state legislatures have approved Trump electors and Trump actually won? Well, you have to replace the Trump electors with fraudulent Brandon ones. Well, whose job is it to do that? Mike Pence. Mike Pence is the key to all this, all right? So you've got seven states with Trump and Brandon electors. If the Congress chooses the Trump electors, Trump wins. He gets over 270 electors. He's the president. That's what should have happened. That was the law. The state legislatures chose the Trump electors. What happened instead was that Mike Pence said, no, I'm not going to send the electors back to the state. Okay, so by not sending them back, then what happened? Well, it threw it to the Congress. And the Congress was supposed to take up each state. Well, they couldn't afford, the deep state couldn't afford to have the Congress take up each state and debate it and say whether they wanted the Trump electors or the Brandon electors, because there are enough Republicans in Congress. There were more Republican states than Democrat states. So again, Trump wins. But the deep state can't have that. So they have to sabotage the election again. So the only way, and here's the key to the whole thing, the only way that the deep state could assure that Brandon would be in the White House was not to hold the count at all. So they didn't want to just rest on Mike Pence, you know, not sending back the electors to the states. They had to make sure that Congress would not consider the Trump electors. So how did they do that? You know how they did it. January 6th. They brought in Trump supporters into the Capitol and then called it an insurrection, wherein the real insurrection happened below the Capitol, when all those members of the House and Senate were told, you better vote for Brandon. You can't vote for those Trump people. You know, in fact, Christina Bob, told us that they were probably told under the Capitol to vote for Brandon because you don't want to be like those Trump supporters. Those people are insurrectionists. You can't support them. That was a lie. Okay. I think it was much worse than that. I think they were told, you're not going to get any campaign funds. I think that their arms were twisted. And if you say anything about this, we're going to beat you senseless, you know, mentally, physically, and all over the airwaves. Not literal. They were told, if you don't vote for Brandon, you're out of here. That's what I think they were told. Christina Bob thinks they were told, you better not support Trump or you're going to be one of those insurrectionists and we'll say that nasty stuff about you. So how do I know? How do I know that was the plan? Well, because Trump started his speech an hour late. So all the Trump supporters didn't get to the Capitol in time for the very first battleground state, which had Trump electors as well as Brandon electors, and that was Arizona. So when did the FBI mercenaries and Ray Epps and the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa folks and all the mercenaries and all the other folks that the deep state had there to stop the electors? They went in when Arizona was up for a count. So Congress was suspended before they could decide on Arizona. And the timing is critical. Where were the Trump supporters? Most of them were still walking over to the Capitol. They weren't there yet. But the windows were open, the doors were opened, the insurrection stopped the Arizona count. And the person responsible So even if Mike Pence failed, they still stopped the count. See, deep state wasn't counting on Mike Pence, but he did his job. So I believe Mike Pence's job was to not send the Brandon electors back, forcing the decision to have to be made in Congress, and then the deep state caused the suspension of all activity of the counts of those seven states with Trump electors for 7 hours. And then when they came back, they all voted for Brandon electors for the good of the country. And that was the coup. Pretty simple, huh? But Mike Pence's critical part in the coup was not sending the states that had Brandon and Trump electors back to the state legislatures to resolve it. And for that action, which helped sink Donald Trump, he's going to be rewarded. This is what I said at the time. He's going to be rewarded by the deep state, you know, with the Republican nomination in 2024. That's going to be his present for sabotaging Trump. And now it's all coming out. So here we go. America First Report. I covered this in the last hour, but let me do it in a little more detail now. Looks like Pianki's on the line. So let me get him on here, and then I'll go back to this article. So Pianki, my synopsis, you concur?
Yeah, that you're talking about a runaway electoral count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was right about Mike Pence. I was right about Mike Pence. I knew he was a traitor. Josie doesn't agree, but that's okay. I told everybody he was a traitor. He's a linchpin. He's the one that refused to send the Brandon electors and Trump electors back to the state legislatures where he was constitutionally mandated to do, because the legislatures control the election. He refused to do that. He said he couldn't do it because that was illegal, but what he said was wrong. He could do it. In fact, he had to do it. And then they changed the Electoral College Count Act so that future vice presidents can't do the right thing and send them back to the state legislatures. This is fascinating.
Did it change that act?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember
so
that.
We'll go over that. In fact, let me do a show on that. I'll spell out the details. So Electoral College.
So
they
that
did
was
in 2022.
The deal that was carried through Congress. They can't change the Electoral College procedure because it's listed in the Constitution.
Yeah, it's not exactly spelled out. Let me see. I've got a bunch of articles here. Let me find the one. State legislature. Let me pull up. Remember that one article I used to read all the time? You can't find it
and
anymore.
That's not just no one procedure, because each state has their own way to perform that. So
Here's one.
Congress will control states like that.
Yeah. Here's one, November 12th, 2020. This is before even the electoral count. November 12th, 2020. So this is like 2 weeks after the election. State legislators have the power to determine the presidential election. It's from a website called The Collegian, which I imagine is a college newspaper. I'm trying to find where it is. That was my college newspaper. It used to be called The Collegian. It says very clearly, in very small print, under the U.S. Constitution, state legislatures have power over presidential elections. They may have to use it. Since over the past week, allegations of widespread election fraud have been made in several crucial 2020 swing states. We call those the battleground states. Lawsuits filed by the Trump campaign contain sworn affidavits, that's evidence, folks, from election officials who claim they were directed to ignore or violate state elections law in both Michigan and Nevada, with campaign lawyers claiming there are more lawsuits to come. Same thing happened in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, and Arizona as well. They're talking Michigan and Nevada here. Yeah. It says, what recourse is there when the outcome of an election is so disputed? Recounts and recanvasses with representatives from both parties present can identify and correct some discrepancies, such as the one in Antrim County, Michigan. We heard about that one. This is what about allegations reported by Detroit News and other sources that indicate hundreds or even thousands of ballots have been cast illegally by those who are ineligible on account of age, residence, or even being dead. Let's see if I can get to the key parts here. He says, fortunately, there is or whoever wrote this, I don't have an author on this. It's like a general thing. It says, fortunately, there is another possible avenue to address such discrepancies. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 1 of the U.S. Constitution states, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which each state may be entitled in Congress. So the legislators, so we've said this before, that when Mike Pence said he couldn't send back the Trump and Brandon electors, he could. He had to send them back.
Right.
Because the state legislatures are the ones that put forward the Trump ones. The governors and secretaries of state, the Democrat governors and secretaries of state, put forward the Brandon electors. In fact, they tried to block Republicans from electing Trump electors. That's Voltron 2.
Well, you know, here's
the
thing. Here's the thing. The critical thing is that you got a dumb populace, Craig. And if we can admit to that, then we can go on with the discussion. But first, you got to have a dumb populace so you can pull something like that off. It would be nice if all of the nation was at the Tennessee 1946.
Yeah, Athens is really interesting. That's back when those were done by soldiers. They actually knew what they were fighting for. Today, the soldiers are kind of going crazy. This is D-Day, by the way. This is the anniversary of D-Day, for those that didn't know. I haven't covered it a lot because there's a lot of other stuff going on, but I find it there's nothing more I can add to D-Day. Yeah. Let me get back to this article here.
Before you go, I give credence to those who lost their lives on D-Day. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and D-Day was the start of the victory, you know, of the Allies over Nazi Germany. So critical battle. Study it. As far as political and stuff, I don't have any issues that I need to bring up about D-Day. Just the fact that people should know and remember and talk about it and learn about it. All right. So the article is the one I was talking about. If rumors are true about Mike Pence in 2020, he should be in jail instead of running for president. Again, this is J.D. Rucker, June 5th, so yesterday. Former Vice President Mike Pence is officially running for the Republican nomination. This has been anticipated for months. If rumors about Pence are true, then some people have been anticipating it since before Kamala Harris was installed into his former office. So J.D. Rucker is pretty direct. It's kind of fun. He says diehard Trump supporter.
You think it was a promise?
Do I think what?
You think it was a promise to him if you
Absolutely.
Do this?
Yep. I told you. I said, this is a payoff. I said, Mike Pence is refusing to send the Trump electors back to the states because if they do, then some of them, enough of them might be certified to put Trump over 270 electors and he wins the election. That's why they needed him to not send them back. So his part in the coup was refusing to send the electors back to the states on the chance that they might do the right thing or what they wanted to do and send back the Trump electors only, not the Brandon ones. Because if they sent back the Trump electors, Trump gets over 270, he wins. There's nothing they can do about it.
Even though Pence would have been the vice president.
Yeah, he sacrificed his vice presidency. Well, no, Trump I don't think would have taken him back. I think Pence had done enough damage to himself. Oh, he still would have. No, that's true.
Already,
he still would have been vice president.
That was already
yeah,
announced. He was on the ticket.
Let me think about that. That's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. No, you're right. Yeah, he sacrificed his vice presidency to sink Trump so he could get the presidency in 2024. What an idiot. Oh,
but
God,
he still
stupid. Could
have got the presidency in 2024. He would have been able to run for in 2024 as president.
That's true.
And would have had more credibility because he served as vice president for 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely true. He could have done it, but he didn't do it. That's what's so fascinating. So rather than So to him, it was more important to align himself with the deep state and throw the election to Brandon, who's in the opposite party. Well, remember when I used to say that Mike Pence is the first person that actually committed vote fraud for the other side? You remember when I said that a bunch of times? He's the first person. He's the first Republican to commit vote fraud for the Democrats.
Yes, a confused shoes situation.
Yeah, but what you're saying is valid, that he was vice president, he would have been vice president again, and could have run on Trump's coattails in 2024, being in a far better position. I still wouldn't have voted for him because I don't like him, but he would have been in a much better position than he's going to be, you know, because every Republican thinks he's a traitor and stabbed Trump in the back, which he did, by refusing to send the electors back to the battleground states like he should have. Like I believe he was bound to do because the state legislators control the electors. So he had to send him back to find out what the state legislators wanted to do. He had no right not to send them back. He had to send them back. There was no choice in the matter, as far as I can see from the Constitution, and yet he didn't do it. And, of course, he was supported by the deep state because they didn't want the chance. They could not take the chance that those states would return Trump electors, putting Trump over 270. That was part of the coup. This is a multifaceted coup. And, of course, the next part was to have the Trump supporters on top of the Capitol so they could claim insurrection and still not have the count done with those battleground states. That's why they stopped the count in Arizona. Arizona is the first alphabetically of the battleground states. Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Those are the battleground states. Arizona's the first one. So they had to stop the count at Arizona. They had to suspend Congress at Arizona. And the only way to do that was that they opened the doors, they brought in the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, FBI mercenaries, who knows who else was in there, and they started breaking windows, and they created enough disturbance so that they could clear Congress and stop the proceeding. That was part of the insurrection.
Well,
that was part of the
coup. They could have done more than what they've done themselves. Mm-hmm. Texas tried to sue Pennsylvania and New York, which that's what they're supposed to do, because the inaction about those two states caused harm to Texas itself. And others, too.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, but the Supreme Court failed in their job to uphold Article 3 of the Constitution, where they had to take that case because it was a dispute between the states. We've talked about that, too. They had to take that case. There was no choice. They were duty-bound
to
take that case.
Well, the thing is with the Supreme Court, well, the states could have told the Supreme Court to go pound sand, what they should have done. You know, people don't understand that the states don't have to listen to the Supreme Court. The court
don't
have no authority of that nature. It don't have no policing authority.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Then we'll get back to the article. No, I want to talk about this for a minute and then get back to the article, because I think you got a valid point. But I want to ask you a question, though. What is this magic power that the Supreme Court seems to have, that when they decree something from on high on Mount Olympus in their black robes, that people automatically go, oh, this must be true. This is the wisdom of the oracle. We have to follow this. We can't object. We can't do anything about it. It's the Supreme Court. It's, you know, one step below God Almighty. The Supreme Court dictates from Mount Olympus, you know, Capitol Hill, and if they say it, it must be the law of the land. And it's a bunch of nonsense. Where did that come from?
You said
How do
it.
People get so stupid?
You answered your own question.
Don't tell me.
So you associate supreme with God in the Bible.
Okay. I just made that up.
And it's a hypnotic effect. Much of society operates under hypnosis that's self-induced.
So if we took their black robes off and gave them umpire shirts, NFL umpire shirts with black and white stripes and a whistle, do you think they'd be treated differently?
Well, you know, really, common courts, you could be a judge in the dispute between two parties. There's nothing. What's the qualifications for being a judge? Nothing. You don't have to be a lawyer.
No, that's why I want to be. I want to be appointed to the Supreme Court one day.
So what it is, people don't see that quite naturally. They don't know it, and irrefutable, they aren't taught it. So they act out of ignorance. They act ignorant.
But wait a minute, you've got governors, you've got state legislators that have been in politics for years and years and years. They've been through law school. You know, look at Jonathan Moseley. You know, he had a fairly conservative law school. They were still pretty wacko. But you've got people that know that the Supreme Court has incredibly limited powers, that they cannot enforce things like Roe v. Wade, that they cannot make national policy. The only reason they have power is because people believe they have power. And that's power that they actually do not have. So when we come along and say, no, the Supreme Court does not have that power, they look at us like we're the strange people. And we're like, well, go ahead, show us where they have the power. Well, they just do. They're the Supreme Court. You know, they're justices. They're there for a lifetime. They can interpret the Constitution, and once they make a decision, nobody can challenge it. What? Are you people irrational?
In the history of man, there has been few people that have taken on the total leadership that they bestow. I'd say is Putin.
Yeah.
One is Putin. You got George S. Patton, you got your Dwight Eisenhower's and your Chester Nimitz. You've had a few that were in modern times. You can go back in older times. You've had like Napoleon. You've had a few people that take on the total responsibility that they should have. Churchill was another one. There's only been a few.
They're taking on the total responsibility of their country? Is that what you're saying?
Leadership, yes. Well, you don't have to go to somebody that's supreme or man always has to have something that they designate ultimate power to beyond what they think they have. That's why they created gods.
Yeah. Xi Jinping comes to mind, and Kim Jong-il in North Korea as ultimate dictators. They run the country themselves. Xi Jinping doesn't. I think the Communist Party, if he ever showed weakness, they'd just take him out and assassinate him or something like that, and some other person. See, this is the problem with dictators. Dictators are always paranoid because they're always afraid somebody else wants to be the dictator and they want to kill him. And that's usually how power is transferred. So they have to appear tough and ruthless, because if they're not tough and ruthless, then somebody who is more tough and ruthless will take them out and replace them. So we don't have to worry about that.
That's what the FBI, it was in the paper today about the FBI saying they're afraid that Biden, the tattletale on Biden may get killed.
What do you mean the tattletale? What are you talking about?
The witness, the one that's going to come forth and give all the information about
Biden. Oh, of course
Biden.
They might get killed. Of course they might get killed. You know, this is why when Josie says that Trump's better off out of office than in office, I said no. He'd have the whole DOJ. He could fire all the people he didn't want, all the traitors in the FBI. He could turn the FBI into an actual investigation thing for the country, you know, not for the deep state. And that doesn't make sense. I mean, let me get this article here. I want to get through this because I think this is fascinating, because Mike Pence is such a key part of this. He's not the only part, but he is a key part of the coup. Without Mike Pence, one vital part of the coup would not have gone through. He says, diehard Trump, so this is J.D. Rucker from yesterday, diehard Trump supporter Rogan O'Handley. Boy, there's a rich white name if ever there was one. It's like Tucker Carlson. You always tell the rich people, they have weird first names, like Rogan, you know, or Tucker. Or you know, Prescott, or Wellington, rich white people name their kids really weird names. Anyway, Rogan O'Handley dropped some bombshell allegations. These echo what I've been saying since 2021. In fact, my podcast was banned on Spotify for making those exact claims, so I'm inclined to believe them. Here's what O'Handley posted, and this is back a little bit, and this is also on DC Drano. If you want to know the source, DC Drano on Twitter has the same thing. He says, now that Mike Pence has entered the race, let me tell you all some inside information. In the days leading up to January 6th, I was informed by trusted sources that Pence wasn't going to contest the rigged Electoral College results. In other words, he wasn't going to send the Trump and Brandon electors back to the states. That's what that meant. Wasn't going to contest it. Just going to accept the Brandon electors, even though they were illegal. He says, I couldn't believe it. How could he backstab 74 million people and allow fraud to overthrow our executive branch? But then I was told why, and here's where it gets interesting. He says he, meaning Mike Pence, cut a deal with the Koch fundraising network to be their lead horse in 2024 if he backstabbed Trump and the MAGA movement in 2020. And I told all of you this is exactly what happened. Mike Pence has made a deal for the 2024 nomination. That's why he did it. And then people are like, oh, yeah, Greg, sure. Yeah, okay, fine. Nope. I knew it. I knew it then. It was 2 years ago I knew it. I knew it now. And I was right. And then it says, to those that say he didn't have the power to contest fraudulent ballots and allow state legislatures to conduct further review, then why did they change the Electoral College Act in 2022 to explicitly state the VP could no longer facilitate that exact process? See, we need to find out if that's constitutional or not. So I'm going to go visit that act.
No, it wouldn't be constitutional.
I don't think it would.
See,
either,
but
I got to get the proof, though. I got to get the proof.
You got factions that's trying to kill the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Also, and then once again, Mike Pence, what's his what people say they don't like him, but what is his policies? What policies will the party have for the 2024? That's
whatever
the
deep state tells him. He'll do whatever the deep state tells him is what he'll do.
Well, you still need to know what it is. They can't just run up there and say, my name is Mike Pence. Wearing a cowboy
he only just declared.
But they could. Technically, they could because of the population you sold it to.
Yeah. Which brings to mind DeSantis. So if Mike Pence was promised the 2024 nomination, as I believe he was, for sabotaging Trump, this is why I didn't think DeSantis would ever run. One of the reasons was because they already promised it to Mike Pence. So why is DeSantis running? Well, I think to damage Trump, because we knew – this is why I couldn't believe when he declared for president. And I predicted he wouldn't do it because I didn't think it was that stupid. Apparently he is that stupid. I was wrong. But why would he run in 2024 knowing that Trump, you know, is just trouncing him in the polls? He has no chance at all. and that Mike Pence is going to be, well, he may not have known that, but I believe Mike Pence, you know, was promised the nomination, just like Mitt Romney was, just like John McCain was. And they were portrayed as the, remember, they were portrayed as the moderate, the only Republican that can unite the country, the Republican that can bring us together, the reasonable one, the maverick of the party, the one that is not a right-wing, homophobe, Islamophobe, you know, extremist. And so what happened was all the conservatives beat each other up, and John McCain won. And then the Republicans beat themselves up again, and Mittens Romney won. Well, I think they're going to do the same thing with Mike Pence. They're going to portray him as the moderate, the stabilizing force, the calm hand on the wheel, the one person that can unite this country. And, of course, you know, DeSantis is going to get thrown to the side. He'll be out before the New Hampshire primary or immediately after it.
Yeah, he might, yeah. But he got a right to run if he wants to. And we have to wait to see what it all plays out.
Well, no, I want to influence it before it plays out. That's the whole point. let me finish this article. So we started here. So to those that say he didn't have the power to contest fraudulent ballots that allow state legislatures, okay, we're going over that. Then the last paragraph, because Pence could, and he knew it, but he took blood money anyway. Let me just back up a bit. To those that say he didn't have the power to contest fraudulent ballots and allow state legislatures to conduct further review, in other words, decide whether they wanted the Trump electors or the Brandon electors, because if they picked the Trump electors, the three states picked Trump electors, Trump would have been over 270 and he gets the election. There's nothing they can do about it. All right. Anyway, so rather than do that, he said, then why did they change the Electoral College Act in 2022 to explicitly state the VP could no longer facilitate that exact process? Why? Because they were afraid of an honest vice president. That's why. Then it says, because Pence could have, in other words, send those Trump and Brandon electors back to the states, and he knew it. But he took the blood money anyway. We are not in this situation because of President Trump. We are here because powerful forces worked to fortify the 2020 election, and coward rhinos like Mike Pence partnered with them. Let's show Judas what we think of his backstabbing in the ballot box. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. So last part of the article says, again, I heard the same rumors around the same time. This is back to J.D. Rucker. Rogan O'Hanley said that last bit. J.D. Rucker says, I heard the same rumors around the same time. Whether we were talking to the same people is unclear, but even without corroboration, see, I didn't hear any rumors. I just used logic and reason. The only thing that made sense to me was that Mike Pence took a bribe. Why would he sacrifice himself, as Pianki said earlier, why would he sacrifice himself and sacrifice his vice presidency, you know, to stab Donald Trump in the back, thus costing himself the election as well? Well, the only reason was he was promised more. He was promised, you know, his allegiance to the deep state was proven by sabotaging Trump. Then it says Pence had all the constitutional cards to let contested states sort it out for themselves. Absolutely agree. He had the incentive to do so, but apparently he had greater, which was what Pianki talked about. Then it says, but apparently he had greater incentive to block the process and allow massive, widespread voter fraud to win out. So that's the question. Why did he not do the right thing, which would have benefited him? Instead, he screwed over the entire country. What was the greater incentive? This is the big question. Then it says the 2020 election could not have been stolen without Mike Pence's assistance. That's what I've been saying all morning. This is why it's a safe bet that he was a part of the plan from the beginning. I believe that also. In fact, one can argue they wouldn't have gone through it with it if he wasn't playing ball. So Mike Pence was seduced by the dark side long time ago. In fact, he probably was always there.
Well, you got to find out who was whispering in his ear.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that who would you pick if you were Trump, if you had your choice? Trump, I don't think, knew Mike Pence. I don't think he knew anything about Mike Pence. Now that I think about it, I bet you Mike Pence was picked for Trump. Well, he's geographically good. He's a stable guy. He'll help your campaign. You'd be great. I don't think Trump would have picked Mike Pence on his own. He probably would have picked someone like Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat.
You may be right, because we have to go back and look and see how much Trump know of Mike Pence before the election.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look back and say, who else was Trump considering for vice president besides Mike Pence?
And then you got to look and see who would put Pence up to do it. Who's whispering in his ear? You know, we oftentimes hear this deep state. We oftentimes hear that they, well, exactly who are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, here you go. Here's an article, Washington Post. Well, I probably won't get it because it needs a subscription. We'll see if they'll let me look at it. In a tweet Friday morning, where presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump announced Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Okay. It was a bunch of people he was considering. Let's see if they're going to let me say. He was considering Newt Gingrich, Chris Christie. He was considering, they're going to block me. I have a subscription. Here we go. Who's who on Donald Trump's vice presidential shortlist? This is from August. This has been before the Republican convention. So July 5th, convention was in August. Who's on Donald Trump's vice presidential shortlist? So let's see who. Oh, more subscriptions. Sorry, guys. Let me go with find an article. It doesn't require a subscription. Vice presidential candidates. Now here, let's see if Fortune will let me look at their article. So Fortune. See, I quote these people. It's not like I'm using their sources, on July 1st, 2016. Associated Press. Another subscription. I got to get that. All right. Let's see. New York Post. They'll let me look at it. Should have gone there first. May 24th, 2016. Shortlist. Let me get some names here. Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee. Don't know who he is on the shortlist. Chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, who ended up screwing over the FBI. Surprising him on the list is retired General Lieutenant Michael Flynn. Well, that's interesting. Mike Flynn was on the vice presidential list. Wouldn't that have been interesting? Another reason they probably had to sabotage him. Who else was on the list? Yeah, Flynn would have been the perfect choice for vice president. Yeah, now we know. Okay, so that's why they put Pence on. They didn't. Corin Lewandowski, no, he wasn't on it. Let me see. Yeah. Former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer was on the list, and Newt Gingrich was on the list. But the most interesting one from that article is General Flynn. Now, they hated General Flynn because he knew where all the bodies were buried, as they say. He knew the corruption of the deep state. He was going to prosecute them all. So if Mike Flynn was vice president, that would have screwed up the deep state permanently. Now it gets more interesting, Pianki. What do you think?
Yeah, if you start taking the layers, peeling the layers off the onion, getting down to the core.
Yeah, you go back and look at these old articles. It's pretty interesting. A quick message to Marco here. See you next time. Marco's had to put up with Warren from New Orleans Wake Up. It's really bad. I think I can find my other article. There's one article that I had saved up just for this occasion. This is the one from Knightsbridge. It was the best article written on the Trump electors. It is now off the internet. Fortunately, I copied it and put it on my text thing. And just copy the text of the article. So this is the seven battleground states, each Republican electors that voted for president. 2020 political, seven battlegrounds. Okay, this is from Knightsbridge. You cannot find this article anymore. It's off the internet, which means it must have been really good, right? So they said, and this is the one I've quoted from the most.
The one you're supposed to make copies of in the store.
It's on my computer until the FBI scrubs it. Anyway, it's how it works. Presidential candidates in the United States win elections by winning the most electoral votes. The Electoral College system apportions a certain number of votes for each state, yada, 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 yada. On 14th of December, here we go. So let's go. It says those Electoral College votes are counted by Congress. If a candidate gets 270 or more, he wins the presidency. That's how it works. On the 14th of December, so the election was November 5th, 3rd, something like that. 14th of December, we're talking a month and a half later, seven states sent a slate of Democratic electors, chose Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. Republican electors also cast votes for President Trump. So we got seven states that sent both Trump and Brandon electors to Congress to be counted. The article says, thus creating seven sets of dueling electors or alternates. Both groups are sending candidate certificates of ascertainment, which means they're valid, to Congress, which is slated to convene in a joint session on 6th of January 2021 to count electoral votes. This is written before January 6th. Then it says, alternative electors are unusual, but they have happened in our history, so they're not unprecedented. So the last time was in the 1960 election when the governor of Hawaii certified electors for Nixon. All right, anyway, a subsequent recount determined Kennedy won the state, yada, yada. We know how that election went. Then it says, in this election, there is historical precedent, and in each of the seven states, there is pending litigation challenging the results of the election. If that litigation is successful, then the Trump electors, having met and voted, what's that?
Oh, I was just saying Greg is here illegally. I was just replying to what I heard.
Oh, you were replying to Warren? Yeah, I thought it was the, yeah. So,
I don't know why I waste my time.
Warren's a racist. He even hates you. You know, but Warren's interesting. I've taken out, he was going after Josie and was picking on Brianna. And you don't prick on our young reporter. You just don't do that. I'm not going to allow that on my site. So I've taken off his comments against Josie and against Brianna. There was nothing, you know, redeeming in argumentative value to those, so I have removed them. In fact, I think Warren's not here. No, he's back. He's listening, but that's okay. So Warren, I'll just let you know, if you're going to spill venom and vile and bile over my people, then I'm not going to let those comments go. But if you have a legitimate argument and a legitimate disagreement, especially against me, I don't care. You can put that on. So that's just, those are my rules from now on. All right, let me get back to this article. I find it fascinating. We only have a few minutes left. So this is the case. So this article very clearly stated exactly what happened, which is why they remove it. They don't want people knowing this information. And then it says, in the selection of historical representative, all right, here we go. Each of the seven states, there is pending litigation challenging the results of the election. Well, you know what happened to that litigation, right, Pianki? It got to the courts. And what did the courts say? Well, we're not going to take it. You know, or there is no evidence of vote fraud. We don't care. You know, or we're not going to take up the case of the Trump electors. So the courts failed. They're part of the coup. Then it says, if that litigation is successful, then Trump electors, having met and voted, would have their votes certified and be the first properly counted in the joint session of Congress on January 6th. So in other words, if litigation was successful, if the state legislators sent back Trump electors, they would have to be counted by Congress and Trump would have won. They couldn't have that, so they had to stop the count. Then it says the Electoral College, the electoral votes have been officially counted and the votes have been sent along. There is nothing to be done until the matter gets to Congress. So, seven states sending both Brandon and Trump electors to Congress. Mike Pence's job was to send them back to the states and say, no, send us one, either Brandon or Trump, but you can't send us both. Or he could have, and if the state said, no, we're going to keep sending you both, it's okay, fine, we'll decide in Congress. But again, they never did decide in Congress, because that's when the deep state started the coup to stop it from being considered in Congress. So Mike Pence stopped the electors from being considered in the states, and the deep state stopped the Trump electors from being considered in the Congress. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the coup. Questions? That's the coup?
Yeah, we still got to put a face and name on the whispers to Mike Pence.
Well, Mike Pence, you know, I think you made the comment of the day, and I'd forgotten this, but you're absolutely right, that why would he sacrifice being vice president, you know, to the deep state? Unless,
I seen him getting on a new motorcycle the other day. Maybe somebody offered him a motorcycle.
Yeah, I call him the biker chick. Yeah, Mike Pence is the biker chick of the Republican Party. Do you know what's interesting? Did you see on my Facebook page when I post a picture of Mike Pence and they said that's partially false information, that I can't say that against Kamala Harris? Well, unless Mike Pence has gone through some big transformation, he's trans into Kamala Harris, that fraudulent came of information is fraudulent itself, which I think is hysterical. So even the people saying fake information are fake, which we already knew. So what do you think's next for Mike Pence in his grand and glorious run? Do you think they're going to portray him like Mitt Romney and John McCain as the maverick Republican, the calming force, the steady hand on the wheel, the one Republican who can unite us and stop us from descending into the hell of Donald Trump? Is that about right? What do you think?
Well, time will tell.
One more question. How do you think DeSantis fits into this? If they start pushing Mike Pence, if the deep state pushes Mike Pence, how's DeSantis going to feel? What's that?
Yeah, he's testing water, getting familiar.
Okay. He's not going to go anywhere if they start pushing Mike Pence. DeSantis is already done. I bet you his money dries up. What do you bet his money dries up?
Well, you know, he's very popular. He proved himself in the state that he's coming from.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. Let's close that up for today. Back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. I'm going to play a couple more things about Action Radio, our musical selection for the day. And this has been a great show. We have fun today. I love my job. I really do. Pianki, thank you, sir. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, so those listening, except for Warren at the New Orleans Wake Up, who continually spews venom on my live chat. That's why he's not on the show calling in. If you want to catch the show, just podcast live, you know, before it's live, go to blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Our legislative site is writeyourlaws.com, WriteYourLaws.com. WriteYourLaws.com. Contributions, givesendgo.com/actionradio. Just go to givesendgo and put action radio. You'll find us. And Substack, gregpenglis.substack.com. And I have another article. I'll try and write something today. I'm due for another article. And public email, greg@writeyourlaws.com. Happy to chat with you if you have something real to say. And that's it. Talk to you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. We'll do it all again. This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio, using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system. You are listening to Action Radio Online with Greg Penglis. The webpage for all Action Radio shows and podcasts is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Please share our show with all your friends and family, both nationally and internationally. The guiding principle of Action Radio is this: we the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed.